about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
2 years ago, Tanya Bowd's autistic son Tyrone developed an oversized scrotum, which kept on growing. For months, Tanya tried to find out what was wrong. After many misdiagnoses, an MRI scan helped a specialist to work out the problem.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
My relationship with Donald Trump would be as almost a relationship with Jesus Christ. The whole thing is that...
Same. What are we going to do? Vote Obama back in for another 4 years? Well, I'll be speaking Muslim. Hashtag no thank you.
And now.
Do you remember when it first died, September?
Our feature presentation.
That's what you want to hear first thing on a Monday morning, right there. It's a little Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I want to hear more.
I want to play that song.
That's
all I was thinking about all weekend long is, oh, we gotta play that song, but I think we'd probably get fired or something.
Let's do it.
No? It would be worth it for that
so
3.5 minutes. Look, it was Beer Mug's idea.
Right?
I mean, what the hell are we supposed to do? If he's going to break into the studio and just start putting music on the air, we can't stop that.
Not our fault.
Hey, party people, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. Shockingly, some of us have been invited back. It is Monday, the 21st of September. No monkey this week, you guys. He's on vacation, so it's just going to be us girls in the studio for most of the time.
So creepy.
Hey, Chip.
Hey, Bean.
Chip was just telling us right at the end of that last song how incredible Foo Fighters have been at the... Where'd you see them? Some at the Forum?
Honda Center.
Honda Center? Yeah, tell me.
So, you know, they play all hours, about 4 hours. They played more like 3.5. But at one point...
That's unbelievable.
At one point they go, hey, let's play some covers. So, you know, they went into Under Pressure by Queen, which is, you know, they did that over the past week in Europe.
Right.
And then they went into... They brought up the singer of Yes, who turns out was Taylor Hawkins' boyhood buddy from, like, you know, grade school. And they were going to cover Yes. And Dave Grohl's like, well, we wanted to cover Yes, but they're too hard. So instead they did Rush's Tom Sawyer.
Oh, mean pride. Right? I love it so much.
So good.
They can just do anything and everything, and they're always so great at all of it.
Yeah,
that's
and
what's incredible about them.
And, of course, the whole time, Dave is on his throne. Like, he can't jump around.
It's the greatest sentence ever.
Yeah.
Still.
And still just rocking out, just...
Killing it.
Yeah, killing it.
Hasn't it been, like, 2 months since he broke those bones?
He might be milking it. He's like, I just like this chair. I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah, it's just easier. But, I mean, wouldn't you think he could stand at this point?
I don't know, but he still had that giant boot on his leg.
Yeah.
So I think he probably could. He was standing here and there, like up from the chair. But I don't think he'd be able to run around still.
I think he's a long ways from that. That's awesome. That sounds like fun. How about your weekend, Allie? How was yours?
I saw Black Mass.
Yes?
Yes, I did.
Now, I hear that the some of the performances are incredible. The movie, just okay.
Yeah, I gave it on a scale of 1 to Departed. I gave it a 7 because I went in hoping I was going to love it as much, if not more, as The Departed. But come on, that's impossible.
But it is great, as I understand, and I haven't seen it yet, but it is great to have Johnny Depp back doing a Johnny Depp role.
He's phenomenal.
Because he's been so weird for so long.
Yeah, and he's weird in this. Trust me, he nails the weird and the creepy and the intense. But the standout for me was the guy who played the FBI agent, John Connolly. And Joel Edgerton was unbelievable. He's the star of the movie. It should be, actually, to me. It's not really the Whitey Bulger story. It focused more on the FBI aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of the John Connolly story, but it was so good.
That Joel Edgerton, by the way, who also did that the Gift movie.
The Gift,
remember, he wrote and directed that a few months ago. He's so impressive. He's such a great actor.
Yeah.
Such a smart guy. We love having him on the show. And apparently just something else to rave over is his performance in this, too.
He was
That's
so
awesome.
Good. And he's Australian. And his Massachusetts accent was better than any guy from Boston I've ever heard. It was scary good. It was phenomenal. Go see it.
I would be terrified to even try that Boston accent on for a role, because what if it sticks? Then you're just an idiot for the rest of your life.
Then you've got those people yelling at you all the time. I tell
That's
you.
Right.
Bean, we've covered us. What about you?
What about me? I was on vacation last week, and I was in the beautiful city of Barcelona, Spain.
Did you do that a lot?
I didn't really. I didn't attend. You know what? I know a little. They don't speak Spanish there, of course. They speak Catalan, which is similar. But what little Spanish I know, you would think I'm finally in Spain. It's a chance to use a little bit of Spanish that I know. But then I froze because I was too embarrassed that my Spanish would be so bad that I would just embarrass myself in front of natives. So I didn't use much Spanish at all. But many people speak English there. Many don't. But we managed to get ourselves around, because Donna speaks French, and a lot of people in Spain speak French also.
Oh,
so
wow.
that was kind of our go-to, you know, in between if English didn't cut it. So. But it was fantastic.
Your pictures were phenomenal. We need more, first of all. But are you concerned that every time you post a picture of Donna on Twitter, the comments from men, your wife is so hot.
Well, first of all, I hate creepy dudes that say creepy things.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a real issue for me. I will say that I started to notice this. I mean, I've noticed it in the past, but when I post anything on social media, either I'm on Twitter and Donna will sometimes post pictures of us on Facebook, no one is complimentary at all toward me. In fact, there's a lot of suspicion. There are a lot of questions. There's a lot of doubt as to the validity of the relationship. There's a lot of how much. I mean, it's eye-opening to get a look into how the public views this sham of a marriage that apparently I'm in for all these years.
Well, she is super hot.
Well, so. she's attractive, but we legitimately are married, though. I mean, it is real. It's what I'm saying is, this isn't a setup. This isn't a rent-a-bride. This isn't a sex robot. I mean, it's a real, honest-to-goodness, we're actually married people.
That's alleged.
Well, a lot of people agree with you that it's just alleged. But I'm glad you enjoyed some of the photos. And it is, you know, I'd never been before. And it's just, you know, the people are so nice. The food is I mean, it's everything you've ever heard about Barcelona. The beaches are beautiful. There's so many incredible artistic things to go see. I mean, great. Just go if you ever get the chance. I guess that's my takeaway, is Barcelona would be a city I would recommend to people. So, but it's good to be back. I miss you guys.
We missed you, Bean.
In fact, I do have some questions. Well, first, let me just say, let's talk about what's on today's All-New Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We're going to be looking at a lot of different things. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that, and a lot of people are saying that bad things are happening out there. We're going to be looking at that and plenty of other things.
Well, thank you, Mr. Trump. That really brings it into sharp focus. We do have a lot of bad things on the program today, including I have many questions about some things that I heard about on the show last week.
Yeah.
That I'm going to ask. So I need you to catch me up on some things coming up just after 6. Also, our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is getting in the program like we do every Monday. We got some highlights from the Emmy Awards last night. In a couple of words, Allie, what'd you think?
Eh.
All right.
That's my word. It was the most boring Emmys I've seen in quite a while.
Isn't that interesting? Because there were some surprises and there were some
moments. The end, the last person that they brought out.
Yes.
Loved that. It almost made up for the whole 3 hours I watched.
I said the exact same thing. And,
how
of course, we're
strange.
Talking about the return of Tracy Morgan to the stage last night, which was just all the feels. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk Emmys, not only with the highlights and talking to Ralph about it throughout the day, but we have the Hollywood Reporter's Matt Bellany in studio. He was there and at the after parties. Another big NFL weekend. The race to the bottom continues for many of the teams that we root for here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano will join us from the NFL Network and the Red Zone. That's on the program today. And our friend Robert Patrick, a very fine actor, currently working on Scorpion on CBS, which I think returns maybe tonight,
I believe it does, yeah.
He is going to be joining us in studio as well. All that plus the Showbiz Beat with Ralph right after this on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Muse at Staples Center on December 18th. We're talking about concerts that are happening in December now?
Yeah.
That's where we're at. That's what's going on.
Come on. It's 6/12 Christmas.
It is very close to 3/4 Christmas, by the way. That's coming up soon. Listen to K-Rock all week long for your chance to score tickets plus access to the exclusive K-Rock after party with the band on the roof of the Ace Hotel. But first,
Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt.
What is the Joe Schmo show?
Oh, I had tattoo nightmares. Oh, I was so close.
Do you keep in touch with Joe, the Jeopardy contestant, who is such a big fan, Ralph?
keep in touch with him? That would seem to indicate at some point I was in touch with a Jeopardy contestant who had a question where my name came up.
Do you think that at some point reached out?
You think really we had lunch after he answered that question?
Well, I just thought I thought it was like.
Tell me what you thought. I'm fascinated to know the process that your brain went through.
Because it's like Band of Brothers. It's like two people who are on a plane that gets hijacked or something like that, and they now have a bond that can never be broken.
All right.
Just because they're at the same place, same time. I just thought now this is your moment with this man, Joe.
Even if you had that insane thought, wouldn't the first question be, did you ever meet the guy who was on Jeopardy where your name came up as a question? Versus, do you still keep in touch with him? There's an assumption being made there that I think is quite a leap, even for you.
Because I assumed, obviously, you tracked him down to thank him for watching the show and coming up with your name on national television and making you look like the hero that you are.
I know.
I assumed. Yeah. But apparently I was wrong, as I am about so many things. All right, it's Monday morning. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Because it is Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Scorch Trials burned up the box office this week. Maze Runner Scorch Trials made $30.3 million in its debut. Black Mass came in at number two with $23.4 million. The Visit, The Perfect Guy, Everest in its debut. Made a less than lofty 7.6. War Room, A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, Straight Outta Compton, and Captive. Captive?
What's that?
I don't know what Captive is. I'll do a little research.
Well, Sicario wasn't even top 10?
It was in very limited release this weekend. So why don't you just pipe down and stay in your lane? All right? All right? Opening wider this coming weekend.
Ew.
You people. Last night was the night for Emmy. HBO was the big winner last night at the 2015 Emmy Awards. A ton of awards, mostly for Olive Kitteridge, which won 6 awards. Francis McDormand won, Richard Jenkins won, Bill Murray won. The series itself, the limited series itself, won. And then Game of Thrones did very well for itself, winning for Outstanding Drama Series, and Peter Dinklage won for Best Supporting Actor on that series as well.
That was about as much of a domination as I have ever seen by one network in one night on one award show.
You know, they almost always...
Yeah, they do well, but I mean, to win Best Drama and Best Comedy in the same night on top of all of the miniseries awards, on top of all those acting awards, that was just crazy how much HBO there was.
Veep, as been mentioned, did come in as the winner for Best Series. Well-deserved, too, by the way. Also from Veep, Best Supporting Actor went to Tony Hale. Best Actress went to Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Best Actor in a Comedy Series was Jeffrey Tambor for his work in Transparent. Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, Allison Janney, once again, takes home an award. How many Emmys is that for her now? 7, 8?
7, yeah.
Madness. But she's great. Game of Thrones, as I mentioned, won for Best Drama Series. Supporting Actress was Uzo Aduba for Orange is the New Black. She won twice now for that role in 2 different categories. Supporting Actress in a Comedy and Supporting Actress in a Drama. So Orange is the New Black just can't make up its mind. Supporting actor in a drama was Peter Dinklage, as I mentioned. Actress in a drama, Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder. And the long-awaited Best Actor in a Drama Series award went to Jon Hamm, finally, for his work in Mad Men. Well-deserved, and he seemed genuinely moved by the award. So,
how funny was it when he left out his seat and crawled up?
Just climbed up the stage. Like, oh, it's been so long in coming. So it was pretty
cool. I saw last night, Ralph, and tell me this is wrong. How many seasons was The Mad Men on? 7?
7 seasons.
Mm-hmm. 7 seasons. Last night's Jon Hamm win was the only Emmy win for any of the actors on that show from any of the seasons. Isn't that incredible?
There were only 3 of them, I believe, nominated.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which, John Slattery to not be nominated, I thought, is just a crime against nature. The series itself, of course, got snubbed, got nominated for Best Drama. But I agree with you. I think everybody just got very comfortable and used to Mad Men being great all the time.
But, I mean, even in the early seasons, I would have thought there would have been more acting awards. But maybe that's to its credit that it's such an ensemble show that it's almost impossible to pick any one part out. You know what I mean? Because everybody was great on it.
I think that's fair thinking right there. And congratulations to Allison Williams of Girls. She surprised everyone by getting married on Saturday. She married her husband, Ricky Van Veen. Like, that's a real name. apparently, it was a lovely event, and Tom Hanks officiated the ceremony.
Huh.
How about that? That's pretty cool. Brian Williams claims to have been there. But how can we trust him, really, at this point? Who knows? Maybe he was behind the wedding that was in front of him. Maybe he was attending another wedding, and his daughter got married in front of him.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right
at all.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 21st day of September. Stephen King. He just wrote a book while I was mentioning his name. 68 years old today. Bill Murray, who won an Emmy last night, didn't bother to show up.
Probably naturally.
Golfing somewhere or photobombing someone at an ice cream stand or something. Who knows?
How shocked would you have been had he actually been there?
Very.
Very, right?
Yes. But he should have been there without having been there, you know? They should have cut the photo of him and an empty seat in the audience, and he should have just walked out in shorts or something. That's what I expected. Faith Hill was 48. Luke Wilson, 44. Alfonso Ribeiro from Fresh Prince, also 44. Liam Gallagher turns 43. Maggie Grace is 32 years old today. She's 32 years old today. Didn't she play Liam Neeson's 16-year-old girl in daughter in Taken like 2 years ago?
She did.
What's wrong? She's
playing a little young.
Jason Derulo is 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Finish. There we go. Let it breathe.
Chip does not want me on the air for some reason.
What is that song, Chip? I only heard the last 5 seconds. It sounded pretty sweet.
Angie McMahon in the Wilderness. Cecilia and the Satellite.
I like that song.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin. You're just saying words. How about inflection?
Welcome to the Kevin show on Monday morning. All right. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Then we got a lot of audio highlights from last night's 67th annual Emmy Awards, which may still be on. I don't know. I faded around midnight.
I hope
I don't
they
know
put some more comedy bits in there. There weren't enough comedy bits.
Right. Hear my whole thing.
What's the matter, Bean? What's the matter, Bunky? Did you go on vacation and come back and be confused by some things you didn't know what happened? Is that what's bothering you, Bunky?
I don't know what your relationship is with the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph, when you were off, when you were on holiday, on
vacation.
It is
dead to me.
It is dead to you. You like to pretend it doesn't exist. Like you tell people you don't have a job rather than admit you're on the Kevin and Bean Show, right?
I need to purge it from my system once in a while.
You need a break. Yes. I totally get that. Look. Most people who have a job, you know, if you're working at the, you're working at a retail, you're working at Sears.
You're working at the last Sears store, that one they have there.
The last thing you want to do when you're
getting the wish book. Are you ordering from the wish book?
The last thing you want to do when you're on vacation is flip through the Sears catalog. What I'm saying is you want some distance from your job, okay?
Sure.
So therefore, I don't. I make every effort to not, hear about the Kevin and Bean Show, to not listen to the show, to not know about the show because it's vacation.
I need a break from it.
No, it's true. I never ever want to listen. And here's the other thing too, because if I do, let's say I decided to listen, I wanted to podcast or to go to the archive or something like that and listen to a bit. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in trouble because if it's great, then I realize how completely unnecessary I am to this program.
Right.
And if it's terrible, then I'm just super depressed that there'll be no listeners left by the time I get back. So I can't win by listening to the show while I'm gone anyway. So I turn away. Okay. But then I'm on the Twitter and then I see all these things that are made reference to and I go, well, I got to know about that. I need some.
Why?
You know,
why do you need to know about it? Let's let it go.
Because I don't want to have that gap in my show knowledge because there may be some reference that I'm going to not get when somebody brings it up in a month. You know
gap
what I mean?
Gap in my show knowledge. You are
just
adorable.
Embrace the gap. Embrace the gap, Bean.
Look, it's like if you're watching a TV show, Ralph,
right.
You don't want to just miss an episode and go, well, I'll just forget. I just won't watch that episode. You want to go. You want to see all of them because you miss plot points. I don't want to miss plot points to Kevin Bean Show. Is what I'm saying. So I saw some things online, mostly through Ali's Twitter, that I had questions about, and I just thought this would be a good opportunity, maybe for folks who didn't hear all of the show last week, to catch them up, and really, more importantly, catch me up. First of all, Beer Mug is 32.
Yeah.
He looks like 50.
How dare you?
But at least he behaves like he's 20.
How dare you?
At least he shows up for work drunk. Which was great, and then proceeds to vomit multiple times.
Not so much drunk as wasted.
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, I have heard you say many times over the years In what job can you behave this way and still work? How many times have you said about Kevin or about me or about Muggs or anything like that, like, if you had a real, quote-unquote, real job, you would be out after this. Why is this acceptable?
Well, here's the thing. There's people who show up having been overserved the night before and still function within the parameters of their job. Beer Mug is not one of those people.
He's not in that subset.
You. No, he is not. And the fact that we send him on a simple food run, he's got very few responsibilities here. He's got to answer the phone, he's got to get me coffee in the morning, and he's got to get people breakfast.
I do a lot more, Ralph.
That's all he has to do.
I do a lot more.
Those are the mandatory things he's got to get done. For him to try to go get breakfast and proceed to projectile vomit multiple times en route back and forth is just unacceptable. That was Beer Mug there. There's Beer Mug getting us breakfast.
Was that, in fact, periscoped?
It was.
It was.
And oh, my God.
I owe you a big apology, Bean.
Why?
Because having mocked your periscopes roundly the few times you've tried it, I had no idea the failure the periscope could be compared to what you've done. You're the Martin Scorsese of periscope compared to what Beer Mug had, because he had the camera turned the wrong way the entire time. So you just saw a sliver of any sort of visual evidence that he was even periscoping.
My first time.
And then it was in his pocket for a large portion of the periscope as well, which I don't think provided anything for anyone.
Periscope?
Periscope?
Nope.
Very nice. Yes. Well,
I definitely have to go watch that. That sounds all right. Here's the other thing. I hate to miss the great guests, the people that we all love and admire, that we're excited. You know, one of the perks of this job is we get a chance to talk to interesting people that we're fans of. And the great Danny Elfman came by last week. And I love him so much. And I've been lucky enough to interview him many times over the years. But I hated that I was not here. Allie, did you fangirl out? Because I know how much you've loved him since you were a little girl.
I have loved him forever. And he was so delightful and lovely. And Bean, he did say, and I quote, "I'm really sad that Bean isn't here."
Yeah, he missed you.
Oh, well, that's the thing about him. He's just such a sweet, sincere, gentle genius. I'm so sad I missed that.
He felt even worse when we broke the news about your death.
I'm glad that's your cover story when I'm out, by the way, is when people say, "Hey, where's Bean?" You go, he's dead.
We're going to be right one of these times.
did you, in fact, give away tickets to the
day? Sears.
Did you, in fact, give away tickets to Danny Elfman's big Halloween show with a game called Express Your Elf?
Yes, of course we did.
Awesome. Did that happen?
Yes. Here's a little of the intro.
Don't go for second best, baby. Put your love to the test. He's Danny Elfman. Guessing the theme is the deal. And maybe then you'll know your love is real.
Come on, that's awesome. Express Your Elf.
And then we had another contest, and we just added a 2 at the end.
Yeah.
Who came up with Express Your Elf, and who got all the high fives for that?
Hello? This guy. Who has 2 thumbs that came up with Express Your Elf? This guy.
All right. We're almost out of time here, so real quick, a couple more things. Do I need to go back and listen to Herschel Walker? Because based on the Kevin Bean Facebook page and Twitter, he was the most inspirational human that's ever set foot in the studio.
I loved him. He was lovely. He was delightful. He said things that just
He changed back. So he was lives.
Yeah, he was. So
he's
so
Terry
inspiring.
Crews. He's Mr. T. He's in that pocket
Stop
of guys
naming
who just
black guys being.
No, I'm just saying guys.
We all got to be black. I see how
very
you are.
Racist.
No, those are guys who are just super inspirational and tell you to, you know, follow your dreams and get things done. That's what Herschel Walker's all about?
That, and he does a lot for the military. He just talks a lot about things other than football.
Right.
Great.
He's phenomenal.
Chickens. He does things
chickens.
For chickens.
He does a lot for chickens.
I saw him touch a kid in a wheelchair on the way out, and the kid got up and walked.
That is
not
incredible.
Not where I thought it was going.
Yeah, I was also very nervous.
The kid was running away, don't get me wrong, but still.
All right. Man buns. What was the verdict on that?
Oh, jeez.
I heard that was a big phone topic.
It was
one day.
Thumbs down for everyone except for Christine, our assistant producer, who's just weird on so many levels, we're finding
really?
Out.
Really? Yeah. She's down? But did you see how awful it looked on Peter Dinklage last night? One of the coolest actors in Hollywood is wearing a stupid little man bun on TV.
Yeah. It's
awful.
It's ridiculous.
It's bad.
It's
all right,
bad,
so we're
yes.
just. Christine is wrong, and we'll just all agree. Okay. And finally, you caught up with Doto, the International Man of Mystery. I understand there's a clip. I don't know what it is, but Kevin emailed me, and he said there's a clip that I think you need to hear from the Doto interview. Could you roll that, please, Chip?
This is Bean now. You're perfectly welcome to come to my house.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah, because you asked that on Twitter, right?
course, Kevin. I read all my tweets. I'm pretty careful what I say, Kevin. Bean.
Bean. It's Bean.
Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome to come up anytime.
Thanks, Bean.
You're welcome.
So, if you hear a knock this morning, we're just saying it may not be the FedEx guy.
That is good information to have. Thanks. Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show mean two things you can count on. One is Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network talking all things football. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And the other happens right about now. Our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Emmys. How much you watched last night, Harvey? Did you fall asleep halfway through like most people?
You know, the weird thing, because I was exhausted, but I somehow, it kept me up.
You rallied.
No. I think it was, it annoyed me enough that it kept me up.
You know, Ali and I were talking about this off the air. What is the problem with the Emmys? It's the most famous people on television.
No, I know what it is.
What's the problem with it?
It's so easy, because they get up there, and all they do is they, you know, they thank a bunch of people, and who cares about their lawyer and their agent, their manager, number one. But they have to do that, so it's a bunch of thank yous to people you don't know, and, you don't connect. So you get a Viola Davis speech now and then, which was, you know, really good, and John Hamm, who was interesting, and Tracy Morgan, who was awesome. But most of it's like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank my wife, thank my kids, and they get off the stage, and it's boring.
Yeah, it's just people reading lists of names, and I know I know that some of the shows are important, but there's also a lot of I don't really care who directs the Daily Show. There's also a lot of stuff like that that goes on too.
I know, but you know what? But it's almost like we're kind of spying on them that it is their night, and if they want to get it televised, they shouldn't kick those people off just because of us being bored.
Let me play a little bit of Tracy Morgan, and I want to talk some more about that. Again,
love
this is
that.
from last night. It was, Ali, you said it best when first thing this morning. You said it made the previous 3 hours worth slogging through just to get to the point at the very end of the show when he came out to present the final award of the night.
Last year, Jimmy Kimmel sat on the stage and said, we'll see you back here next year, Tracy Morgan. Well, Jimmy, thanks to my amazing doctors and the support of my family, my beautiful new wife, I'm here.
I didn't realize, because I missed that one interview he had done with the Today Show a couple of months ago, I had no idea what to expect, Harvey, when he opened his mouth in terms of how he looked, how he walked, how he spoke, how he thought. I thought it seems like he's come almost all the way back.
Well, I don't know if you guys have been seeing on our site, but we've put Tracy Morgan on the site from the point of being, you know, pushed around in a wheelchair to walking with a cane to the point where he's now driving his Ferrari in New York City, getting out of the car and talking to fans. So, I mean, we have seen this remarkable progression. And he is back. I mean, he really is back. He's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live. He's back. I mean, don't you have the best bite of the night when he talked about the after party?
Oh, yeah. That was classic.
Honest to God, that was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
I suffered a traumatic brain injury that put me in a coma for 8 days, and I finally regained consciousness. I was just ecstatic to learn that I wasn't the one who messed up.
All right, so he said that. We start laughing because, all right, he said something funny. It's not going to be all serious. And then here's what Harvey's talking about, the line of the night.
Only recently I've started to feel like myself again, so which means a whole lot of y'all women going to get pregnant at the after party.
Yeah!
And then they cut to Tina Fey, whose arms are just thrown up in the air like, and he's back. It was awesome.
So funny.
It was beautiful. All right, we're going to talk a lot more about the Emmys and a lot more sound coming up in just a couple minutes. Let's talk about a couple of other things on TMZ.com with our friend Harvey Levin on the phone. This Steve Raza, what is it, Rana Zisi, is that right?
Yeah.
He, of course, is from The League. We've had him on the show. Nice kid, very funny on that show. Boy, how did this whole story unveil, Harvey? How was it revealed after all of these years that he's been kind of fudging his whereabouts a little bit with his 9/11 story?
You know, somebody was kind of looking into it, but it's amazing to me that it lasted this long. I mean, he said that he was in one of the Twin Towers when the planes hit. He got out. He escaped. He told this harrowing tale in unbelievable detail, and it was all a lie. And he was actually in Midtown. It's kind of amazing to me that nobody said, hey, I saw him in Midtown, but that didn't happen. And he went for years telling this
14 years. So, Harvey, what do you think's going on here? I mean, you're not Dr. Drew, but what would cause somebody who actually did have a story about being in Midtown Manhattan on 9/11? Why elaborate and fake it? What's the point of that?
The cynic would say he wanted a good story that would help his career. And what he said was that all of a sudden he realized how life was so fleeting, and then he decided to pursue his calling, which was to be a comedian and come to Hollywood. And it's kind of a great story. So it's just not true.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of. And, you know, he's, you know, paid the price because he was doing a commercial for Wild Buffalo Wings, and they canceled him. And, you know, Comedy Central was kind of hedging on whether they would run his special. They did run it on Saturday. So, you know, look, in the greater scheme of things, he didn't hurt anybody. Right. And ultimately, you know, it's just going to be one of those things, but it's not going to be career ending for him. But
right.
You know, it wasn't great.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great at all. And he is a comedian. It's not like he's some guy we voted for and have to trust. So I think you're right. I think he'll come back from that. All right, great stuff. I know you got a lot of other great stories, including a very funny Patti LaBelle story up on the site.
Yeah.
People need to check that out. TMZ.com. You can also look for TMZ all over the day on Channel 11 and TMZ Live airing Monday through Friday at 4, same channel, and TMZ Hollywood Sports on the Reels channel. Harvey, great to talk to you, my friend. Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, guys. Yeah.
Our friend actor Robert Patrick joins us at 7 this morning from CBS's Scorpion. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Well, we're talking about the Emmys a couple of minutes ago with hey, Ralph Garman. How are you?
Good, man.
Talking about Harvey Levin a moment ago from the TMZ newsroom about one of the problems with the Emmys is that it's long and boring and it's people reading names. What did you think of Andy Samberg as your host last night, though?
I'm torn because I thought he did a pretty good job as host. But there's way too many bits. And that just a comedy bit that falls dead. When Orphan Black is looking for cans of beans on the red carpet, it's a speed bump that you're already dealing with a slow show because of the speeches and everything. Don't make it worse by doing failed comedy bits.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I know that you don't know until, I mean, look, you. We think things are going to be funny before we put them on the air, and sometimes they fall flat. Sometimes you don't know until you get out in front of the audience. But yeah, you're right. That is TV death when a bit goes on for 4 minutes and
completely
it doesn't
unnecessary.
Connect.
Just do the show. Let's cut an hour out and just do the show.
Andy had a couple of funny lines in his opening monologue. By the way, I thought his the production piece at the beginning where he was talking about how there's too much TV, I thought was very well put together.
Yes.
A lot of funny. Then he had a couple of things in the monologue I thought were good too.
Paula Deen is on this season of Dancing with the Stars, but I got to say, if I wanted to see an intolerant lady dance, I would have gone to one of Kim Davis's 4 weddings. It's so ironic that she came out of jail to Eye of the Tiger when you consider how many dudes have boned each other to that song.
Kim Davis, of course, the county clerk in Kentucky who wouldn't issue the marriage license. I thought it was very funny. There wasn't there wasn't a lot of politics on the show, which I was always happy to see. What did you think of the Ricky Gervais bit, speaking of comedy bits?
I loved it.
I thought it was very funny, too.
He's so irreverent, and I just find him a breath of fresh air every time he comes out on stage and does one of those things.
I do, too. His bit was that, look, nobody remembers who wins the Emmy, so just pretend you did.
Hello. Back again. to lose another one? Go on. I haven't lost yet. I've still hope. there's no hope. It doesn't matter, though. No one remembers. In a few days' time, people see a picture of me up here, they go, he probably won an Emmy. You know. They've seen me talking to Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet. They go, he talked to Ryan Seacrest. He's a winner.
That's right.
And then he had somebody bring out an Emmy. He posed with it and said, just take a picture of your TV right now and tweet it.
Yeah.
Then people will think I won. So good.
I believe that probably works because I think most people who watch the show don't remember who wins the Emmy.
Right.
I think he's right about that because we really don't care that much who wins the Emmy. Tina Fey, always delightful. She and Amy Poehler, by the way. Look, 30 Rock was so great. Parks and Rec was so great. They were so great together when they hosted Golden Globes. Every time they're on TV, it's funny. And Tina, as usual, is very funny when she came out to present an award.
A serial killer with a mean streak. An FBI agent to the stars. A Philadelphia cop just 20 seconds away from retirement. A baby who made a wish to be an alcoholic president. And a very tiny scientist.
These are just some of the characters that I made up backstage.
I'm listening to her, and I'm sure everybody else was doing the same thing, going, wait, she's talking about the nominees? Why don't I recognize? Like, what shows is she talking about? Now I realize I want to see all of those shows.
Yes.
I want her to make those shows about that baby who wants to grow up to be an alcoholic president. That's an awesome show. Speaking of Amy Poehler, she came out with Amy Schumer. They were the Amys, and she was very funny.
To get the show started, we're here to present the first award of the night, which is good because I have a blackout scheduled for 10 p.m., and you've had that on the books for weeks.
Indeed, indeed.
But what an exciting 2 to 4 hours for women in comedy. And let's not forget what tonight is really about. Celebrating hilarious women and letting the internet weigh in on who looks the worst.
And by the way, not to prove her point, but Amy Schumer was like a big sweaty mess last night, wasn't she?
Well, wow. Everyone was a sweaty mess because it was 120 degrees on the red carpet before they walked in. So everyone looked a little worse for wear.
Yeah. I saw that picture. So it might have been our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter who tweeted of Mario Lopez, who was – he looked like he had just climbed out of a pool.
Yeah, yeah, it was a
sweat
nightmare.
Right through the shirt. It was disgusting.
Because you're wearing big boy clothes and you're outside and it's the middle of the afternoon and you're under TV lights, I assume, right, even though it's daytime. So it's like a perfect storm.
But at least you're in black. At least you're all in black usually if you're a guy. So you're just absorbing all that radiation.
Hey, we have Spanx. So think about the Spanx. That's just holding in that liquid. Like, you could wring us out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jon Stewart was on last night with his beard, picking up his final awards as the host of The Daily Show. And he was very funny as well, talking about, you know, you wonder what happens to these guys who do a TV show for so long and then all of a sudden they're away from it. Now they're just a private citizen again. And he addressed that in his winning speech.
To everybody on television, I just want to tell you, cling to it as long as you can. Like death, like in the Titanic, the guy who was cling to it. I have been off of television for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is. This is the first applause I've heard. It is a barren wasteland out there where they say hello, whatever. But did you know? Okay, you have craft services. Okay, out in the world, there are tables with food, but you can't take it.
It's very funny. By the way, how hot is his wife?
Very beautiful. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen her before.
All right, creepy.
Holy moly, I'm just saying.
Whoa, pulling the reins there.
And next to Tracy Morgan, which we just talked about with Harvey. And by the way, you're with us on that, Ralph. That was the moment of the night, right? Incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was so
I mean,
terrific.
Just for folks who don't know, I mean, what he came back from, it's just a miracle that this dude is still alive, much less able to go up on stage and be funny like that. Incredible. I think the second most talked about moment of the night was the Viola Davis win. She is – do I have this right, Ralph? You're a showbiz historian. She is the first African-American actress to win the Best Actress Emmy, right?
I believe so, yes.
And she got up last night, and it was not at all about her. She took this as an opportunity, basically as a wake-up call to Hollywood casting agents and writers to say – I think this was her message – was to say, look, there are lots of roles that could be offered to women of color and people of color. Not every role is written for a white guy. Widen your mind a little bit and give some of those roles that don't have anything to do with race to other people. That's kind of what she was saying. And she did it, of course, in a much more articulate way than I.
And let me tell you something. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there.
It's a very powerful moment. I think that really resonated. And, you know, for all the talk of the lack of diversity in Hollywood in recent years, it really seemed – I don't know. Last night to me seemed like there really had been some sort of a change. You saw a lot of people on that stage who were not the – you know, people who look like me.
But here's the thing that strikes me about that, and I understand her point of view, but it always rings a little hollow to me because I think – The acknowledgement has to be made that it's a business, you know, and the way to get more black roles on television is for people to support black shows that feature black lead performers. You know, it's like we're getting more of those because Scandal was well done and a success and people watch it, and Empire is brilliantly done and people watch it. So once that happens, Hollywood is not a place where they just open up their minds and just do the right thing. They're motivated by profit. And if those shows become successful, that's when you get a how to commit murder without really trying or whatever that show is.
How to get away with murder.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I would
watch Ralph's show too. I'll tell you that.
I mean, you get more of those shows, and those opportunities do come, but it is a slow process, and there needs to be some success made and some inroads made. And I think we are in a new age now, but it's largely because good work is being done with those performers in the lead.
I agree with you, but I think, for instance, if Shonda Rhimes isn't the one who made How to Get Away with Murder, it might not have starred a black woman. I think that is kind of what her point is you need somebody to say this role was not written for a black person. It was just written for a person. Let's consider a black person.
Absolutely.
I think that's what she's saying.
And I think that comes with success. And I think the more people support those shows and watch them, the more you will see that.
And finally, we started with Andy Samberg and the Kim Davis joke. There was another political joke that I thought was very funny last night, and it was from the always brilliant Julie Louis-Dreyfus, who I think has also won seven Emmys, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
She's won Emmys for all three of the comedy series that she's done, by the way, and she had a very funny speech when she accepted for Veep last night as well.
Thank you very much to, of course, the Academy. I think it would be appropriate at this moment to quote our political satire, Veep. What a great honor it must be for you to honor me tonight. Oh, wait. Oh, God. Oh, no, no. I'm so sorry. Donald Trump said that. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's getting trickier and trickier to satirize this stuff.
Yes, it is. The Emmys from last night. We'll take a break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next on the Monday Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Keep on listening to the Kevin and Bean Show all week long here on K-Rock and throughout the day on K-Rock. If you want to go see Muse at Staples Center December 18th, we've got tickets for you. You can win tickets to the show and also access to the exclusive K-Rock after party with the band on the roof of the Ace Hotel. That's rock and roll history right there, by the way, when you rock out with a band on the top of a building like U2 did downtown all those years ago, the Beatles before them.
Yeah.
Fun, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the show. He's been on a Monday. What's going on, dude?
Hey, speaking of tickets and things that are fun, another K-Rock Microbrew Festival is coming up. It's on the infield at Santa Anita this Saturday, September the 26th. You got to be 21 years of age or older to win, but the event itself is all ages, so bring the whole family. Here's what I'm giving away, a four-pack of VIP tickets to this very fun event that happens on this Saturday the 26th. The infield opens at 11 a.m. First race starts at noon, but you do get to bet the ponies. There's going to be beer there, as you can imagine, because it is a microbrew. There's going to be food. It is the Breeders' Cup World Championship tote bag that you'll get as well. A lot of cool stuff happening at this event. So why don't you call me now, 1-800-520-1067, if you'd like to go to the K-Rock Microbrew Festival this Saturday on September the 26th. Besides all the ponies and the beer and the food and the fun, you can also hang out with some of our very own K-Rock people like Stryker and Omar, and Dave the King of Mexico, and Lightning, and Super Steve, and even Chip will be there. And Chip, I believe, is a jockey. So she can probably give you lots of tips on what horses to
bet. Oh, I'm so ready, Ralph.
Because she has been a jockey for many, many years. Actually, she's weird. She's a jockey, which means she rides on the back of a jockey who rides on the back of a horse.
I have a jockey life tattooed across my stomach.
I know you do. You have a jockey strap, I think I've seen you wear. It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Did I give out the phone number?
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
Thank you, Doto. Thanks for the assist. Monday morning, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Today is no different. Maze Runner. About an Indian who runs with ears of corn in each hand.
I'm not sure.
Maze. Make kettle corn.
M-A-I-Z.
Make lots of money off pale face.
I think you're confused there.
Really? Seems like The Maze Runner would be a great movie. I'm going to make The Maze Runner.
See it.
If they didn't make it, I'm going to make it. Because that's how you get a creative person in this business, people. Don't wait for people to give you the opportunity to make work. Go out there and make your own art.
Okay.
Maze Runner, coming this fall. Scorch Trials is the name of the film. It's number one, $30.3 million made it number one. Right behind that, Black Mass. Why the mask gotta be black?
Right?
Whitey Bulger. Why Bulger gotta be Whitey? There's a lot of racial undercurrent in this film.
Everyone from Boston is a criminal, though, right? That's what we've. That's
that
my takeaway from this film.
That is a given. Mm-hmm. That's one thing
fact.
We know faux show. $23.4 million made it number two. The Visit. was third. The Perfect Guy and Everest were your top five films at the box office. War Room, A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, Straight Outta Compton, and then Captive, in its debut, just made $1.4 million, but that was still good enough to get it into the top 10. Sad news. Jimmy Olsen is dead. Jack Larson, the actor who played Jimmy Olsen back there on the Adventures of Superman TV series, has passed away. Passed away yesterday at his home in Brentwood, California. 87 years young was our Jimmy. Sad. Really? That he's dead. But happy, are we, to have all those memories of him from that fun TV series.
It's a roller coaster of emotions.
Right?
You just took us on.
That's what I do, Allie. Yeah. I bring you up, I bring you down, and then I just level you off.
Seriously, wow. We're like a yo-yo to you.
And this was strange. This was odd. I don't know if you've seen the video, but Madonna pulled CNN anchor, respected newsman Anderson Cooper on stage during her concert Saturday night at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York.
Wait, a gay guy went to a Madonna concert?
I know, it's shocking. But here's the thing. I don't think I would ever see, I don't know, Peter Jennings up there doing the worm. You know?
He did the worm?
No, I'm saying I don't think I would ever see him. I don't think you'd ever see Brian Williams at a Stones concert doing acid with
you might
Bill know. Wyman.
Him, you might.
I'm just saying. Anderson Cooper, you're the face of respected journalism on CNN. And he was up there on stage with Madonna. She was spanking him and humping him. She gave him a banana, and then he ate the banana before he left the stage. I mean, it was just... I'm just.
And then Wolf Blitzer was up there doing whippets at the time.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Crazy.
I don't believe you'd ever see Wolf in the mosh pit with Iggy and the Stooges cutting himself with a broken beer bottle. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why any of that imagery came to my head, but I'm just saying, right?
This Anderson Cooper, he's turning into to Walter Blunt, is what it sounds like.
That's true. That's who he's becoming. It just struck me as not unnewsworthy, but just, I don't know, it's just, when you have a certain place in society and you're the bringer of information and you are the man we turn to for informed opinions and a certain amount of sobriety, I don't want to see you eating a banana with Madonna getting spanked.
No, I think you make, I mean, look, I know you're...
That's a great sentence.
I know you're having a laugh.
I must say, I'm sure he's a decent enough fellow.
I knew you were yucking it up.
Could I be more upset than Anderson Cooper's eating a banana with Madonna on stage? I gotta say.
But the truth is, you could wake up this morning and turn on CNN and there could be some sort of awful, you know, bomb scare or something. And he's the guy you're going to for facts.
When he's giving me details on how to avoid getting the Hanta virus or something, I don't want to think about him getting spanked by Madonna. It erodes his credibility a tad.
Fair enough.
I agree.
All right. Just keep it in mind, Anderson, okay? Anderson, you there? It's not funny, Anderson. This is serious. I'm telling you, you're the serious voice of news for CNN, and we look to you to have, for a little bit more decorum, okay? So pull it together. Anderson?
He's off the rails.
Anderson, pull it together.
Read the news.
You're an embarrassment. Never see that kind of behavior out of Walter Cronkite. Or Will McAvoy from ACN.
Right. He was good.
Oh, I loved him. Today's celebrity birthdays. A lot of people born on today, the 21st of September. Do you remember when it was September? Yeah. Jason Derulo's 26. Maggie Grace is 32. Liam Gallagher turns 43 years old today. Luke Wilson and Alfonso Ribeiro both celebrate their 44th birthdays today. Faith Hill is 48. Stephen King is 68. And the legend, the man, the myth, the icon, Bill Murray, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do we play that ironically, Allie, or is that for reals? I can't tell.
We just played Third Eye Blind, you guys.
Okay.
It happened.
Hey, Monday morning on the Kevin Bean Show, it's always a thrill when we welcome our next guest to the studio. He is one of the stars of CBS's Scorpion, coming back tonight for a new season at 9 p.m., our friend Robert Patrick. Hey, Robert Patrick, how are you, man?
Hey, Bean, what's happening? So glad great to be to back at K-Rock.
Well, I know you have been coming on the show for many, many years. We always enjoy having you, although I'm concerned that this could be your last appearance based on the troubling information you shared with us at the end of the song there. It sounds like we're losing you, sir.
Yeah, you're losing my eyebrows, that's for sure.
It sounds like piece by piece you're falling apart. Now, you're a gentleman of a certain age. Does that concern you when you start to lose body parts?
I'm telling you.
It's not a body part.
It is sort of. It's a topic of the conversation with my kids. Dad, where'd your eyebrows go? Seriously, they've got these nice bushy eyebrows. I don't have anything. Dad, where are your eyelashes?
Wow.
I'm concerned, man. I'm worried about other things dropping off.
Of course you are. I don't blame you. Well, listen, you got so much going on, but why don't we get there's an elephant in the room that we need to address first off, because, man, this is tough. These first 2 weeks of a football season, if you're not a Patriots fan or a Packers fan or a Falcons fan, it's tough, man. Already you start to see your season slipping away. But for you, rising up, man, you're in heaven.
The Falcons rising up. We are playing so well. They look great. The new coach, Dan Quinn, he's doing an awesome job.
Matt Ryan looks great.
Matty Ice looking good.
Boston College's own Matt Ryan.
Julio's looking. Yeah, Matt Ryan. Exactly. Yeah. Boston College. Yeah, they're just looking great. And it's so exciting for me because I was born in Atlanta, and I was at the first game against the Eagles in 1966. So
no.
Wow.
This 50-season celebration they're having this year is just great.
Are you serious? You were at the first game?
That's how old I am, big guy.
That explains the eyebrows.
Exactly.
So what has it been like over the decades? Because we have this conversation with our little friend Chip in the studio there, who's a lifelong Dolphins fan, and she has never had a season to be excited about. You've had some good years as a Falcons fan, but overall, it's been rough, right?
It's been really rough. Because L.A. doesn't have a football team, we don't have one. So I've stuck with the Falcons over the years.
Well, you would anyway because you're from then. You would see, even if there were a team in Southern California, you'd still be a Falcons fan, Robert.
Probably. But I am a Dodger fan, so I have forsaken my Braves to become a Dodger fan, even though I'm a little upset that I can't watch them on local TV.
Yeah, exactly.
But
congratulations. So you're on with Eisen today, too, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do Rich Eisen after this. You know Rich.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
He's got that great show over there on DirecTV. He's doing an awesome job. They put a lot of money into his studio, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a beautiful set.
And I love going over there and hanging out. And, he's a big Michigan guy. I'm a Michigan football fan as well. So, University of Michigan.
He had a very sad first week. Very sad.
Yeah. Well, we lost that first game.
It took a turn, but upswing.
We're 2-1 now. We're 2-1.
Things are looking good.
Right. Yeah. It's Harbaugh. He's back.
Yeah.
This has been Sports with Robert Patrick.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. A lot of other stuff to talk to you about, as always. Scorpion returns tonight for season 2. And it's supposed to be bigger and sexier, I'm told. And
smarter.
And smarter. I don't know how that's possible. You already have the smartest group of people in the history of television on one show. Give us the overview of what you like that's different about season 2.
Well, we're it's a drama, but it's a comedy and it's an action show. So it's they're just doing bigger storylines. We're getting farther and farther out there with the problems that we have to solve. And I think the cast, we've come together and we're really clicking, we're really working well together, and the comedy is really working well. So I love doing the show. It's great to work with a bunch of 30-somethings and be losing your eyebrows on it. High definition, you know.
But, when you say it's an action show, that doesn't do it justice. You do the craziest stunts on this show of anything that's on the CBS primetime lineup. I mean, it's insane some of the things that you do.
Yeah, we're really proud of it. I mean, we've got a great crew, and we film it in Los Angeles. So we've got the best of the best from everybody, the designers of the sets to all our grips, gaffers, and the show just has this fantastic look. It's so well produced. We've great writers, and they're just pushing it. I mean, they're coming up with more and more ways to take us further and further, and these problems get bigger and bigger. And it's fun for us to sit there and work it out. It's like a Mission Impossible Rogue Force every week on CBS.
Totally, that's a great way to describe it. And here's the thing that I think about whenever I see Scorpion, Robert, and that is, I don't know where you find writers who are smart enough to come up with the things that your characters have to come up with. You know what I mean? Because they're playing super geniuses, savants, basically, in various skills. But somebody has to put those words in their mouth. And I don't know where you find people like that.
Well, that's, that's Nick Centura and Nick Wooten and our showrunners that have put together that team of writers. And they're really great. And they do a lot of fact-checking. They have to run a lot of things by the real Walter O'Brien. I know they're all over the internet coming up with ideas, and half the stuff that we have to say or the geniuses have to say, I don't know if they have to fact check it, mm-hmm. So it is amazing what they do.
Tell me about the real Walter O'Brien. How much is he involved now?
Well, he comes by every once in a while. We see him occasionally, and he's a great guy. He's very interesting, very, very obviously.
If you didn't know
smart.
Anything about him, if you didn't know he was a super genius, like an IQ of almost 200, and you just met him for the first time, could you tell, is there something different about him?
Yes, there is.
Really?
I don't even
That's
know how to describe it. He's just a really interesting individual.
Is it an intensity, or is it just words
there's
you don't
a calmness.
Understand?
There's a calmness about him. There's a just a look that he has that is really intriguing, I find.
Because he knows so much more than us.
I think so. I think he's just sort of, I'm in a whole different realm, man.
Wow.
Fascinating. I don't know what my IQ is. I've never had it tested, but
I would guess around 80, just from knowing you a little
thank
bit.
Thank you very much. Lovely, I appreciate that, brother.
we had an interview scheduled with the real Walter O'Brien. He was supposed to come in last season, somewhere near the beginning of season one, and we were very excited, and of course also intimidated because he was going to come in, and we're just a bunch of yahoos. And it was so weird because if I remember correctly, Chip, do you remember? Didn't he forget about us or something? He just didn't show. Remember, we were supposed to have him that day.
No, he got called in to do, there was some election going on in Europe, and he had to go help monitor it or something. Something
yeah.
crazy like that.
No, yeah, that's exactly sure. right. It's all of a sudden, it's he's gone. Where'd he go? He's got some, international calamity to deal with or something, some incident.
Do you think, though, how great would that be that you could use that as an excuse, but really you're like, I wanted to nap.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Right. Yes, the government called, yeah. That's exactly right, Chip. The government called him into service because he had to oversee some sort of election in Iran or something. And it was just what a weird life this guy has. And then the next day, he's, standing around on the set of a TV show. It's just a crazy way to live.
Eating a bagel.
Right, exactly.
With some cream cheese. I like it.
The season 2 premiere of Scorpion is tonight at 9 on CBS. It is back and better than ever. Our friend Robert Patrick is here. Lots more to talk about with him when we return right after this on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ for a Monday morning. Our friend Robert Patrick from CBS's Scorpion is here. Robert, I know you're a big rock and roll music fan. We're going to talk about your upcoming event with the Foo Fighters in a second. You like Muse? What do you think of them?
Was that them we just heard, right?
No. Muse is one of the greatest bands in the world. They're playing Staples Center on December the 18th. All this week on K-Rock, we're giving away tickets, and we just gave away a pair right now to Gabriel Barreras from Pico Rivera. He'll also have access to the exclusive K-Rock after party with the band on the roof of the Ace Hotel. Tickets are going on sale for that show Friday at 10. They are amazing, Robert. You got to check them out. All right, let's talk about Foo Fighters.
I got to listen to K-Rock more to hear more Muse.
You have
right?
to.
Right? You do.
I apologize for that. I feel bad.
We're going to be okay.
Hanging out with the Foos. When's your event? October 18th, I want to say, right?
October 18th, the Love Ride. We're raising money for Wounded Warriors. The Foo Fighters have kindly agreed to do the show. We're all excited. It's going to be the grand finale of the Love Ride.
Now, that surprises me. Isn't this a hugely successful event that's been going on for decades?
It is. We've been doing it for 32 years. Oliver Shoku, Jay Leno, of course, Peter Fonda. And we're just going to have a big blowout. I think Oliver has decided to let's do this. Let's just, blow it out wide. And this year we're thrilled to have Dave and the Foo Fighters. They're so great.
Yeah.
They did the 25th anniversary. And I think we had 100,000 people there. It was just
wow.
crazy.
Oh, my God.
So we're excited.
And Social Distortion, by the way, also on the
Social bill. D. I know. How lucky are we to get them? It's just fantastic to have both bands. So you don't even have to be a motorcycle enthusiast to enjoy this event. You can come on down to Castaic, Lake Castaic. It's a great party, great food, vendors, all sorts of events going on. It's a beautiful setting. And I know Dave and the band, they're very laid back. They're going to bring in some of their buddies. We'll have guest musicians and popping up. And I mean, you know, one year we had we did it with Jackson Browne, and we said, you know, there's going to be some guest guys popping up from time to time. And Bruce Springsteen strolled out on the stage. So
what?
You never know who you're going to see down there at the Love Ride. So
wow.
Make sure you check it out, SoCal. It'd be great.
Love Ride 32, if you remember nothing else, just Google Love Ride and it'll come up. Again, the event is coming up on Sunday, October the 18th. It kicks off at Glendale that morning at 7 a.m. And then Jay Leno is the Grand Marshal and Foo Fighters Social Distortion. Tickets are on sale now. Advanced tickets are just $45. And, of course, the proceeds go to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project. How long have you been riding a bike, Robert?
I started riding when I was a teenager. I think it was my dad kind of put it to me, if you want a motorcycle, you got to leave. So it was about the time I left home. I got a bike, and the first one I had was a Yamaha, and then I worked my way up to Harley Davidson's, and I love it. I ride cross country every year. I do the Wounded Warrior Rolling Thunder ride to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. We do the big thing at the Vietnam War Memorial, and it's just been a great way to see the country. You know, I don't play golf, you know what I mean? And I just love riding the motorcycle, the Harley Davidson, across the country. And
what do you have?
I have a big old bagger, and not a fat boy, a big old bagger. I love fat boy. I have a Springer Classic, but the bagger's what you do. You tour, you know, and you can throw stuff on there. And it's just fun to go out in America for days on end.
So you get on that bike in the morning and ride like, what, 10 hours throughout the day? Just the wind in your face?
Yeah, wind in your face.
And do you like it because do you zone out? Is that what it is? Is it just it's
meditative.
Release from the responsibilities?
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
You just enjoy yourself and just commune with nature.
Yeah, man, and you have no itinerary, you know, and you kind of roll into whatever town it is and you see what they got locally to eat and, you know, get into whatever local hotel you can. And it's just great. It's my escape. It's anonymity, you know. I mean, it's put the helmet on and go. So you just zone out.
That sounds like fun. By the way, speaking of the wind in your face, you mentioned that you film Scorpion here in town.
Yeah.
What's that been like for you this summer when it's 125 effing degrees every day? I mean, what is that like for you guys?
Man, it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically have a telephone repairman job, you know, outside on a pole all day. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're working outside for a living.
It's really hard. It's really hard on the crew. And, you know, we've got great people that are keeping us hydrated and stuff like that. But it's an endurance test, man. Mm-hmm. And even some of the stages we're working at, the air condition's not properly working, and you get all those hot lights out there. You're just in there sweating. It's times like these where I don't want to be wearing a suit every day. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Cabe Gallo. Why do I have to have a character that's got to wear a suit every day? Why can't I be in shorts?
Somebody at the I wasn't familiar with the actress, but somebody on the red carpet at the Emmys yesterday fainted.
I heard about that. Can you imagine going to the Emmys when it's like, what was it, 105 yesterday or something?
And they said
something
it was like 113 on the red carpet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And awful.
That's the word. Well, speaking of Harleys and riding, you know, riding through Tucson, I think I got heat, close to getting a heat stroke.
Really?
Oh, going through the desert about 117 one day was stupid, 113 or whatever it was. That's crazy, man.
That's amazing. All right. Before we let you go, Scorpion Tonight, 9 o'clock, CBS. Last season, if I remember, Cabe was fired, right?
Yeah.
He was fired, and then is he still trying to get back, or did he get back by the end of last season?
You're going
to
find all that out tonight, Monday night, 9 o'clock, CBS.
All right.
Monday's tonight. Mm-hmm. You're going to find out what happened to Cabe, what happened to Walter, what happened to Paige, all of us, where we went, and then we're going to maybe come all back together to solve a big crisis.
Maybe.
But it's interesting who I'm working with at the start of the show. Who am I working with?
Who are you working with?
Gene Simmons.
What?
That's right. The
really?
Bass player from Kiss. My friend, Gene Simmons, is on the show tonight.
I guess we'll
big
find
reveal,
out.
Big reveal, SoCal. Nobody else in the country knows that.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
I like it. Tonight at 9 o'clock on CBS, follow Mr. Patrick on Twitter. You should, especially if you're a Falcons fan. There's a lot of love. Robert Patrick T2, and of course, Scorpion Tonight at 9, and loveride.org. That's the web address for all the details on the event coming up on October the 18th. Robert, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming in.
Bean, thank you, brother.
Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
So Real long ending.
How about Ben McKenzie, Jim Gordon from TV's Gotham tomorrow morning on the Kevin DeBate Show? How about that?
Love.
Yes.
How you like me now?
Yeah, because the villains rise, bitches.
That's what I understand. Also, Rob Lowe later in the week. RJ Bell, of course, with his NFL picks. Kristen Schaal is going to be in studio with us talking Last Man on Earth. A lot of good stuff coming up this week here on the Kevin DeBate Show. But, Ralph, not a lot of good stuff coming up on the Kevin DeBate Show right now, as I understand.
Here's the thing.
What's the thing, my friend?
Tweet. You may see your vacation as a vacation from work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We see your vacation as a vacation from Bean.
Oh.
See?
Wow, and that's hurtful.
And so with that in mind, all we ask is when you go away, go away.
I did go away. I left the country.
No. Yeah, but still, that's the thing. We think, oh, you can see it's such a bait and switch. You tell us, I'm going to leave the country. And we're like, we're going to be Bean free for a week? And then, no, because you punish us from afar. It's not just the abuse at home. We get the physical abuse. Then it's the mental torture we get with the tweets.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Stop right there. What do you mean I punish you from afar? Because I am generous enough to share vacation highlights with the group. All of a sudden, I'm a bad guy because I'm sharing my experiences with you.
Yes.
I guess that we're saying yes. Don't do that is what we're saying. Because then we get thanks for those vacation tweets, Bean.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that at all.
Yeah, we don't like your tweets at all. And yet we have to live with them.
Bean!
Like this one.
What's going on? What's happening here?
FYI, Kevin and Bean listeners, I'm just out on a regularly scheduled vacation this week. Not a Jared-type situation, as some have suggested.
Okay, now, I did hear from people, and because of the nature of the business that we're in, Ralph, when we don't show up for a day, people assume we've been fired or worse, arrested. Mm-hmm. I just was trying to allay those fears, that's all.
Don't do that.
Tweet.
Bean!
Okay.
1.4 million demonstrators in the streets of Barcelona. I asked. They all want Weird Al Yankovic for the Super Bowl 50 halftime show.
Now, what's wrong with that?
It's just dumb and lame.
It's not dumb.
And it's not the case, and it's just a bad joke, and it's just a picture of people. And
Allie, you're with me that Weird Al should be doing the Super Bowl 50 halftime show next year, right?
Okay.
Come on.
Then, I kid you not, Bean sent a photograph of an Asian restaurant. That is, the name of the restaurant in big bold letters on the sign above the front door is Wok Show. Wok Show. And then we got this.
Hey, Mark Hoppus, is this where you got the idea for that song?
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Wok Show. Wok
right?
Show.
Right?
No, not right.
Blink
nothing could be wronger.
Blink-182 had a song called The Rock Show.
You can't
How
get,
is that
why
not
do you
funny?
Want to jump in the file from Spain? Why is,
how
that,
is that
a goal?
How is that not funny? Explain to me why that's not funny.
Because it is funny if you're in fifth grade. Then it's freaking hilarious.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
The restaurant was called The Wok Show.
Then Bean apparently went to a ballet, first of all, which gave me endless pleasure thinking of Bean sitting through a ballet. Aww. Went to see Swan Lake in Spain.
I did. That's true.
P.S. Swan Lake is about an hour longer than I have mandated acceptable, but gets points for ending in a double suicide. Spoiler alert!
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Because it's a 150-year-old ballet, so yeah. I'm giving a spoiler alert. Come on, nothing about that is amusing.
There's no microwave where I'm staying, so I just ate a piece of cold pizza, and now I know what the cavemen felt like.
Thanks for that tweet.
Because it was primitive times. Allie, where are you? You're She Bean. You're supposed to have my back, girl. What's going on here? Why am I hearing nothing from you? A little help.
Once again, we don't need you to explain any of these. Just take it. It's a given that we understand them. They're just horrible.
I'm showing you a rope here, Allie. Come on. Pull me in.
I can't.
Barcelona's pretty, y'all. Could someone just send me my stuff?
Yes. Yes, we can and would. If absolutely. If that were an option. Y'all. What? Are you, you're Southern all of a sudden?
I don't know. I can't explain that.
Well, but now Bean's back.
I love traveling, but so happy to be back in a country with turkey sausage and chicken bacon. I missed you, Denny's Diner.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
It was my first destination post-airport, was how quickly can I get to Denny's. I'll tell you one thing about Europe. Not much in the way of Denny's. I was happy to be home, that's all. Yeah. Sharing the joy.
Yeah, we're happy to have you home, Bean.
Sounds like it.
That's that tweet.
Bean! Talking football, a sport I used to enjoy with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network.
Not familiar with that sport.
Apparently it's a thing that some people like to watch, but losers. No more for me.
That's for losers. Football's for losers.
Right? Hockey's right. Coming.
Right.
From the we're already now at – well, at least hockey will be here soon.
Yeah.
Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone and, of course, the NFL Network. He'll be joining us in studio. But before we get to Andrew, we're going to open up the phone lines right now for you to call and answer the question, what's good?
What's good?
1-800-520-1067. Now, I was not here last week, as we established, Ralph. I was on vacation. How are the callers doing? Are they with the program on what's good? Do they understand what it is we're trying to get out of this?
I think they do. And the upside for us is the loons are just coming out of the woodwork.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love
some
that.
Reason, since we've started this segment, just the people who lived in the dark places, for some reason, grab their phones when this opportunity comes, and just we get some fascinating points of view from other dimensions, I think.
I am crazy about that, so this would be a great opportunity if you are the guy with the tinfoil hat, yeah. or even crazier, you're voting for Donald Trump. Whatever your issue is, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. It's kind of our way to give you a platform to get on the air and share what you know with the rest of us.
Right.
And also, if there's you know, something happened over the weekend, you know, something we might have missed, something you feel like deserves attention, something you'd like to hear our take on, something you want to share with us. Maybe you had a favorite moment or least favorite at the Emmys last night. Whatever your deal is, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll. Well, actually, why am I even?
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
We love you too, Doe. We'll take your calls right after 8 o'clock here on K-Rock. Ralph's here now, time for the showbiz beat on a Monday.
Because how many times do we all get emails or tweets where I'm saying, "How are you guys? Why are you guys not talking about fill in the blank?
Right.
Whatever it is people may be passionate about. I mean, there's only so much time in a show, and we don't get to everything. So let us know what's good. What are we missing? Give a call now. 1-800-520-1067.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
Okay. Number.
I love you.
I love
very
you
helpful.
Too. Number has been provided. It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, $30.3 million, made it number one by a long shot this weekend. Then followed by Black Mass in its debut, made over $23 million. The Visit, The Perfect Guy, and Everest were your top five movies at the box office. Then War Room, A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, Straight Outta Compton, and Captive. I didn't get a chance to go to the picture show this weekend, but I did catch up on a movie I've been dying to see that I finally got a chance to sit down and watch on pay-per-view, which was Love and Mercy, that Brian Wilson movie.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
Boy, is that a good film.
Yeah?
And Paul Dano's performance in
it good.
Is really exceptional. I mean, he's a great actor, but this is truly exceptional. And John Cusack is also in the film. So, there's that.
Maybe
that.
One of them really captured the life of each boy Brian Wilson.
I remember large portions of the film saying, I wish this were the entire film. And then other portions of the film I was saying, why isn't the other thing the entire film?
Oh, that's a shame. Because John Cusack is a good actor.
He is a good actor.
Can be.
Can be a good actor, yes. And Paul Dano is excellent in this particular film.
I saw him at the Emmys last night.
Yeah, I saw that too. Made me think of it. Speaking of Emmys, HBO had another good year. They won for Best Drama Series, Game of Thrones. Peter Dinklage won for Best Supporting Actor on that same series. Olive Kitteridge was the big winner for miniseries. Six awards it won, including Frances McDormand and Richard Jenkins for Actor and Actress in that same category.
Ralph, we need your help on something.
Yes.
We need a verdict. Ali's favorite
guilty
moment from the Emmys last night. We need a ruling on.
It was my favorite moment. I need to preface it because my favorite moment was Tracy
Fozzie
Morgan.
Bear on the show? I forget.
My favorite moment was Tracy Morgan. However, my favorite moment of the host was when he was just riffing and he said, I haven't seen all of Kittredge, but I've seen most of it.
Oh, you're such a she-being. No. That was not funny at all.
It was funny. So good, and no one laughed in the audience.
You know why? Because it wasn't funny.
It was so funny.
It's highlights for Children Magazine joke.
Oh, the two of you, can you just go off a cliff? Can you just hold hands in the convertible and just drive off the freaking cliff? Thelma and Louise.
In an industry where everybody is trying so hard to be sophisticated and edgy, every once in a while, isn't it just fun to hear wordplay? Just to hear some,
yes,
just Dean. Like a dumb pun is yes. just, it just, it hits you.
It was
you.
Good.
A sweet spot. No?
You got a soft spot in the top of your head. I wish someone would push their finger right through it.
We all do. We all have that.
What is this, Horseville? Because I am surrounded by naysayers. Wordplay.
I did like it, however, when Andy Samberg motorboated the butt of
Very
the Emmy
funny.
Statue. That was funny.
Very
now, that's
funny.
Comedy right there. Not your freaking wordplay.
A girl's moment. That was funny.
Viola Davis was the first black actress to win lead actress in a drama series last night. She won for How to Get Away with Murder.
Julia sure didn't seem happy about it.
She had some points to make. She had some. She had an agenda. God bless her.
Certainly wasn't enjoying the moment.
She had things to talk about. Julia Louis-Dreyfus won for Veep. That show walked away with 3 Emmys. Well-deserved. Love that show. Also won for Best Comedy. Jon Hamm finally won his Emmy for lead actor in a drama series after being nominated 16 times in various categories.
Wow.
And he received a well-deserved standing ovation for his work as, of course, Don Draper in Mad Men.
He's still ugly, though, right?
Oh, that poor bastard. I'm glad
Hard
he won the war because he's got to go through life with that face. Someone should give him something just for doing that. You know, Don Draper was a big drinker.
Right.
In an unrelated story, Jessica Simpson is saying that she was not drunk at the time she was on the Home Shopping Network selling gray jeans. Her slurring words and acting drunk was part of her big personality.
I seem to remember we covered that at the time, and she was blasted.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. However, she's denying it. Now, just because her mom had to step in and continue selling the clothes after she left the set, that doesn't mean she was drunk. It's just part of her big personality.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Once again, you be the judge. Here's Jessica Simpson trying to sell gray jeans with a load on.
Just in the gray.
I encourage gray.
No, I love
I
gray.
Feel like Ashley is like the best at wearing gray. My
Your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she loves gray.
Like, she's very rock and roll, but there is something about a gray that's like sexy. Maybe it's her and her husband that share jeans. I have no idea.
You know what?
I don't know. There's something hot about them.
It looks very fresh to me. It looks modern when you see a gray jean now. And this is everything we're talking about Jessica's jeans. Women love and obsess over these jeans. They
Maybe
look
men too.
So,
you never know.
Well, that's true.
Were you drunk?
If that's just her personality, she needs medication. She needs a team of Swedish professional doctors to get on the board and correct something if that's just
drunk?
Her personality. So, deny, deny, deny. That's the Kevin and Bean motto, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Derulo is 26 years old today. Actress Maggie Grace turns 32. Liam Gallagher, he was once in a little band called Oasis. Now he's a flying bird of paradise.
He is a high-flying bird.
That's what it is, yes.
No, that's Noel. Noel is a high-flying
Flying
bird.
Liam is just a low-walking moose.
I think that is accurate, yes.
He is 43 years old today. Alfonso Ribeiro is 44. Luke Wilson, also 44. Faith Hill, 48. We should all be 48 like Faith Hill, I think.
We should be 28 like her.
Right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Olive Kitteridge. Bill Murray, 65, and writer Stephen King, man responsible for so many sleepless nights. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Andrew Siciliano joins us from the NFL Network and DirecTV Red Zone in about 15 minutes here on KROQ. Very excited to catch up with Andrew. I haven't seen him this season. I missed him last week when I was out on vacation, so it'll be a lot of fun. Right now, though, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. You can call us on any topic with a feature that we like to call What's Good.
What's good? Come on and let us know what you want to talk about on this show. What's good? Come on and let us know what's going on. Time to go. What's good?
All right. Perfect example, Ralph, of what you were talking about is something that's out there that we need to discuss, but we didn't have room. We didn't know where we were going to get to it. But Josh is going to take care of us. He is on line four. He gets us going here in West LA with an awesome story. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's good?
What's good, Josh? Josh, what's
good?
Hey,
Josh.
Josh, what's good?
How's it going, Josh?
Josh, what's good?
What's up,
Josh?
Josh,
what's good?
That was a hell of a setup for Josh to get nothing back in
Josh,
the church.
Josh, what's good?
Chip, what's your read on what's happening with the phones here?
He's potted up, so he
just Josh, died. What's good?
What's good?
Josh!
I'm here, hello?
Josh!
There he is!
Yeah. Where the hell have you been, son? We've been talking to you for 20 minutes.
Talk about Monday morning. That's the way it's rolling today.
Well, okay, all right.
We'll make up for it. Tell us what's good.
All right, this is pretty crazy. Ballsiest situation I've ever seen. Diver, fish catcher that loves to just pet fish in the ocean.
Hold on. A diver fish catcher who loves to pet fish in the ocean. All right, I'm already lost. Who is this guy?
I'm lost, too. What the hell are you talking about?
Diver/fisherman.
Okay. Diver / fisherman who likes to pet fish.
Okay, who's a fisherman? What does he like to do? Play with his food before he eats it? What the hell is he doing?
I know you guys have probably seen these videos where guys are trying to pet sharks and stuff like that.
Okay, he's a shark petter.
Okay, like you do.
This guy gets attacked by a tiger shark, has time to selfie it before he's actually getting into the hospital. He's on the ambulance. Turns around, he's like, hold on, let me selfie this. Takes a video of his leg half chewed off.
Oh dude.
Pretty gnarly. We have it posted on our account.
Okay.
Salt Sea Plank, you guys want to check it out?
Okay.
No.
Is that the only place we can find it on the internet? Is it your website? What are you talking about?
Yes, it is. It is. It's the only place that you can find it.
All right, then.
Well, Josh,
I say serves him right for petting those fish.
Right, exactly. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. You had a little delivery problem there, but it was a good
well
story.
But it was well worth the wait.
Yes, exactly.
At least we had lots of dead air before that.
All right. I don't know
it's
what Maria is.
It's going to get better. It gets better, people.
I don't know what Maria is talking about, but I want to find out.
Line
7, Los Angeles. Maria joins us next on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Maria, welcome to Monday Morning. What's good?
What's good?
I wanted to apologize to Adam Carolla. I believe it was either 97 or 98.
In the
Love Line, they had a little thing where someone was supposed to drive Adam Carolla to the airport.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I happened to be elected one. Mm-hmm. I didn't own a car. It was my roommate's car that I wanted to borrow.
Uh-huh.
It was, she had a Miata. So.
What color was it, Maria? What color Miata? What color Miata was it?
It was a red Miata.
Okay, good. Got
and
it.
What's the insurance for something like that, Runya?
I have no idea. $100.
Okay. It's called AIS.
Anyways, my point is, I never picked Adam Carolla.
Okay.
I heard on the Love Line him singing a song to a bitch named Maria because he didn't get his flight.
Uh-huh.
You know, Dr. Drew and him were supposed to go somewhere.
Right.
Okay. All right. Hold on, Maria. Hold on.
I just want to double check. So, this is something that happened in 1998.
Maybe 97.
All right.
Yeah, but all right. I wanted to apologize.
I'm glad you're out of the coma, Maria. I'm glad they finally got you out of that coma.
So you're telling me that almost 20 years ago, you were supposed to give Adam Carolla a ride to the airport, and you didn't show up, and today is the day you want to wipe that memory clean.
Yeah, you know what? Karma.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This past 20 years must have been a bitch.
Thank you for the call, Maria.
We'll
appreciate it.
We'll pass along your apologies to Adam.
All right, let's go to Alma, please. She is in El Monte. She is up next on line 2. Alma, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's good?
What's good?
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Alma.
I was just wondering what you all thought of the documentary Soaked in Bleach.
Not familiar now, with that documentary.
Is this the one with that guy in Seattle whose lifelong mission is to prove that Kurt Cobain was murdered by Courtney Love?
Yeah, the private investigator.
The private eye guy. Tom Grant, is that his name?
Maybe. Yes,
I believe so, yes.
I haven't seen the documentary, but I will tell you, we had that nut job on back in the 90s when it was a thing, and he has – I'm not joking. He, again, I haven't seen the documentary, so you tell me if this sounds right. I'm like, he has dedicated his entire life to it. Like, this guy used to do public access shows every single week on TV in Seattle trying to force the Seattle PD to charge Courtney Love with murder. Like, he will not let it go based on the flimsiest of all possible evidence, if I recall correctly.
Well, I wasn't able to see the movie. I just saw some of the trailers.
Mm.
And from what's on the trailers, they have the actual recordings of the way she's talking during this time.
Yeah.
And some recordings from her lawyer who actually also thought that she had something to do with it.
You got that from the trailer, did you? That there's a guy who thought that maybe she had something to do with it?
No. On the trailer, it has the actual recording of what they thought. And then they have the paper where it looks like she practiced his writing.
Mm-hmm. Look, that's the whole point of the trailer is to get you to want to see the movie. So they're going to put something in the trailer that looks as incendiary as possible. But I am here to tell you, and I am an attorney, that Courtney Love had nothing to do with his death, but was obsessed with him. And of course she practiced his handwriting all the time because she was obsessed with him. She was and is and will always be crazy, but I don't believe she had anything to do with killing her husband.
But that trailer sure is compelling, Bean. I don't know. Those two minutes of footage I saw.
I need to watch the trailer.
Yeah. It wasn't compelling enough to watch it, though.
You got everything you need from the trailer. There was paper, there was a recording of someone, and there was some guy who thought that something
Are you going to watch the movie, Alba?
As soon as I can, yeah, because it's not – I tried to see if Netflix had it, and they don't have it yet. And
so somebody could have murdered a dude, and you're still not going to watch it?
When she gets around to it.
I'm going to watch it as soon as I can.
Right.
Okay, Alma.
Get off
the
back, Bean.
Thank you very much for the call. I know we're running late. Let's hit the cycle.
Why not?
Just real quick. It's going to be Rob in West L.A. He's on line 7. He's going to bring us home. Rob, what's good, my friend?
What's good?
Are you guys really happy with where this bit's going?
Are you kidding me? This might be the best work we do all week long.
Thanks, Rob.
What's good?
Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone Channel. How are you, Andrew?
Waka, waka, waka. You came out of that song.
Did you just fossy me?
I did. I thought you were saying, Bean, that was me out of the song. That's what that sounded like.
No. I was saying how happy I was to see you. Last time I saw Andrew.
Yes.
Was it a Taylor Swift concert? So this is actually...
We didn't connect, though. We were at the same Taylor Swift show in London.
I only realized
it off Twitter.
On purpose, you were there?
The girlfriend dragged me there.
Okay.
Now, let me say this.
You admitted that you were also a fan, though.
No, well...
There's no shame in admitting that.
No. Did not put words in my mouth. What I was saying was, it was one of those shows, and we have all been to those shows in the past... Right? Where once the music starts, you go, oh, wow, I know every lyric.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're putting on a good show. Mm-hmm. And she does put on an amazing show.
Okay.
And it's 60,000 people on a beautiful Bean. You remember how good that night was. Beautiful Saturday night in London in the summer with 60,000 of your closest friends with no open container policy. So everybody was just... what do the Brits say for drunk? It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was a very good time. And Ellie Goulding was the opening act, too, and she's awesome.
I am always happy to meet another Taylor Swift fan. You know, I'm a hardcore Swiftie, so you and I, man. All right, listen, we got a lot of ground we got to cover. I was out last week. The Monkey is out this week, so no Kevin. We cannot praise his Arizona Cardinals, who, by the way, look amazing.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
The Cardinals, I mean, especially in that division with as crappy as so many of the other teams are in that division now, you got to give it up for the Cardinals. What was your biggest who in your mind gained the most from week 2? Who hurt the most in week 2?
I would say a couple of things. Number one, the Patriots shut the Bills up. Rex Ryan talked all week, and Rex, by the way, has never lost a press conference. He is undefeated versus the podium. And that's why we love him. I mean, that's a little snarky, but that's why we love him. You need more people like Rex Ryan. He sells the product. He sells it to his team. His team absolutely believes it, especially now only 2 weeks in. Well, maybe they might doubt it today. But he said all week, hey, you know what, let's do it, let's get the crowd loud. He allowed his players to go out there and publicly say, we hate the Patriots, and write that down. Right. All right? And then they got run. However, the score eventually got close, but it is not indicative of how much the Patriots dominated that game. And then Rex has to stand up there, and he said it. These are his words after the game on the podium, and say, I got outcoached by Bill Belichick. They went so far as an organization last week, although they claimed that this wasn't intentional, I don't believe it, to when you walked into the team store late in the week at the stadium, they were selling air pumps right by the door.
Yeah.
Now, they say
clever.
That this was only for fans that like to tailgate, and Buffalo does have the best tailgate, one of the top two, three tailgates in the entire NFL, to throw the football around because you got to work the arm out before the game.
I get it.
They got run.
Yeah.
And the second half of my question was the team that suffered the worst. Obviously, that has to be the Cowboys. How bad is it, and what have you heard this morning?
Tony Romo, broken collarbone. Second time he's done that left collarbone. First time was 2010. Mm-hmm. They say 8 weeks, maybe 10. They likely put him on the short-term injured reserve, so he's got to be out 6-7 weeks. But say this about it. First of all, that division is going to be a disaster already because Ralph's Eagles are 0-2, and they're comedy. I mean, they are.
I want to get to that game, but you're right. The whole NFC East is like no one should win that division if the Cowboys are hurt and out of it, right?
Yet,
no one should win it.
Yet the Cowboys are the only team in the NFL that was forced to play two division games to start the season. Most of those are in December, and they're 2-0 in those games. So they have such a leg up on everyone else in the division. And their new triplets, I mean, the triplets used to be Aikman, Emmett, and Michael Irvin. Now the triplets are Romo, DeMarco Murray, I'm sorry. Well, they had DeMarco Murray. Romo, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant. Now it's Brandon Weeden, Darren McFadden, and Terrence Williams. But they won, and they're 2-0.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're without their, by far, two best players of football.
Yeah,
that
hurts.
Period.
How long will he be out?
8 weeks. I mean, he broke his collarbone. That thing got shoved. It accordioned itself into the turf in Philly.
Was it Aikman that was like, I was back after 5?
Did he say that?
I believe it was him.
You know the best thing Troy Aikman said yesterday?
Yes,
this game
I have it. I have the tape.
Yes.
I have the tape because you alerted me to it, Andrew, and it just cracked me up so much. Now, this is how you broadcast a football game and try to get. This is Aikman with Buck, right?
Joe Buck,
excuse me, yeah. And here they're talking about this unbelievably bad Eagles game.
It's not good football. This has been a terrible game to watch. And with that, we welcome in a new audience.
Which is hilarious.
They weren't technically, because I had all the monitors on. That's a good job by Joe, you know, with the punchline.
Yeah, right,
they were not
right, exactly.
Working in a new audience, the best I could tell. But it was funny. And look, you got to call it like you see it. That was not a good game. Of all the games we had yesterday, that was one of them. That was certainly one of them. We can confirm.
What is the problem? Look, I know that a lot of people hate Chip Kelly. A lot of people are fascinated by him because he's so he makes so many unusual decisions, shall we say. What's going so wrong for him?
They can't figure it out. First, Ralph and I were commiserating back, you know, before in the hallway. They got rid of the middle of their offensive line, both guards. Now, I know that is not the sexy what's wrong answer, but DeMarco Murray, who has 11 yards in 2 games. Say that again. 11 yards in 2 games.
Oh. You almost have 11 yards in 2 games.
I do.
In comparison, Julio Jones has 22 receptions in 2 games. Double the yards.
Yeah.
Okay? He's getting hit every time he touches the ball in the backfield. He can't go anywhere when the defensive linemen are almost taking the handoff. That's number one. Number two, Sam Bradford and his wide receivers do not look in sync. I would not be shocked if USC's own Mark Sanchez starts week 3. Now, I'm not giving you any inside information here. It looked that bad.
Yeah,
it's not all offensive line. It's a lot offensive line, but I wouldn't be shocked if Sanchez starts. The front page of the Philly Daily News today, because, you know, the Pope's coming to town.
Right.
There was someone dressed up as the Pope in the stands yesterday, and so there's a shot of that dude with the giant mitre. What is that? What is it called?
The mitre.
The Pope hat.
Mm-hmm.
The mitre, right?
Mm-hmm.
Among Eagles fans. And the headline is, while you're here, dot, dot, dot.
Aww.
That's how bad
Ouch.
It that is for the Eagles.
That's awesome. All right. Andrew Siciliano is here, host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network and, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel, talking more Week 2 action in the NFL when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano, who needs to put his headphones on, is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Are you running routes for Allie McKay? What are you doing down there?
Allie is upset about DeMarco Murray. DeMarco must be on your fantasy team.
No, not at all. Okay. I just feel like you have to be able to juke. I don't care if you've got a huge man running right at you. You're a football player.
Okay.
Do it. Shady McCoy did it all the time.
If I juke, and we're talking about a guy 4 yards deep in the backfield after I take the handoff. That's how bad the Eagles' offensive line is.
Yeah.
So I take one step to the side. Mm-hmm. That takes a second and a half. That second and a half is crucial because at that point, everyone else is there.
Do it.
All right, Andrew, how is the 2014 quarterback draft class looking 2 games in now?
I mean, they all won yesterday.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Right? Jonathan Football won. Because he's
He's
older and more mature now.
Sure.
He still has the left wrist tattoo, but he is older and more mature. And
No more money signs, right?
No more money signs. He got rid of the money sign. And I mean, he made a legitimate case to start again.
Wow. Derek Carr?
Derek Carr won.
For reals?
Rallied the Raiders back. And next week, get ready, it's Derek Carr potentially against Johnny Manziel.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, all the right. Humanity. Who else?
Jaguars guy.
Oh, Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles,
right. Yeah, Blake Bortles beat Chip's Ryan Tannehill-led Dolphins.
Any encouragement for Chip this year? Every year she thinks this is going to be the year. The Dolphins spent a lot of money in the offseason, mm-hmm. a lot of it on one player, feeling like they were going to be competitive. Anything you can give her that will make her feel better?
Let's back out and for a second preface this by saying it's only Week 2. Yes,
I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that said, I do think Joe Philbin's on a relatively warm chair because they are 8-8 and 8-8, and that's what they are. They are what they are, which is an average 8-8 team. And they came out and they spent all this money, and they were underwhelming in Washington. They had to rally from down 10. Good for them. They won on the road, yay. But then they go into Jacksonville, and they were underwhelming again last night or yesterday. And then you pick up the paper in Miami today, and it's already saying that Ndamukong Suh, on whom they spent $60 million, is already frustrated with the defense and just kind of doing his own thing.
Jeez.
Well, that's the secret to success is just do your own thing out
there,
right?
One of these kids is doing his own thing, and he got paid $60 million guaranteed and has more job security than the coach, which kind of sounds like the NBA.
I'm glad to hear you say it's only 2 games in because, you know, you need something to hold on to when you're 0-2, as Ralph's Eagles are, as my Seahawks are. You need some way to realize, okay, you can still come back from this. I mean, I think about this a lot. The Seahawks last year were 3-3 to start the season and went to the Super Bowl. So you don't have to win them all.
And the Patriots look like crap for 4 games, and they won the Super Bowl.
And the Packers were 0-2 last year, and they should have gone to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
If not for divine intervention in the NFC Championship game in Seattle.
Yeah, it's not over. It's not over yet. But let's talk about the Seahawks, who there was a lot of talk about whether they were going to be able to shake off the spectacular way they did lose.
Was that
Super Bowl.
Taylor Swift reference?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
No, it wasn't at all. A lot of people thought, you know what? The Seahawks need to come out at the beginning of the 2015 season, and they need to erase that from their mind and win one and get back to doing what they've done by going to 3 Super Bowls the last 10 years, being a good team again. Well, they lost a close game to the Rams that they didn't play that well. They could have won it but didn't. They looked awful last night. Is it part of the?
They looked awful last night.
Well, look, I was watching the Emmys mostly, but every time I flipped back, Russell Wilson was making another terrible throw, or somebody else was dropping a ball, or it just seemed like they still can't seem to do anything with Jimmy Graham.
Oh, you're right on.
It seems like they're not the Seahawks that they have been, and I feel like they need something to push them over the edge so they can get going again. What's the problem there?
Can I offer you the Chicago Bears?
Well, I wouldn't want to be a Bears fan if that's what you're asking.
Because the Seahawks play the Bears Sunday.
Okay, that helps.
They play them in Seattle. The Bears have lost 7 games in a row and have given up 218 points in those 7. You can do the math. That's 31 1/7 points a game.
Wow. Okay, so the Seahawks might win a game this weekend. It is their home opener.
They will, as friend Rich Eisen says, boat race the Bears. Okay. I don't even know what that means.
But they will help. Do that. I mean, you need to need to win one. You need to win one to move on and make it a new season. Because right now it's just, hey, we lost the Super Bowl. Hey, we lost another one. Hey, we lost another one.
Yes,
it's got to be demoralizing. I don't care how much you have, how much you're under the spell of Coach Carroll. At some point, it has to get in your head. We may never win again.
And they've been trolled now. And I hate to use that word. I can't stand that word because like the word hate and the word troll, they have no meaning. Just people use them. They're like these Uber verbs, and they use them for anything in their life. That said, they got trolled by the Rams last week because of Russell's Twitter, right?
Yes, Russell Wilson tweeted the day before the game something like, new season, let's go 1-0 or something like that.
Which he does every week, 1-0. Right. The goal every week is 1-0, he says.
And then the Rams came back to him the next day after they lost that game and said, don't delete this tweet, Russell.
No, they did it 2 seconds after the game, and then they have their players on the field – okay, looking at the camera saying, 1-0, baby, tweet that. And then they all ran to their phones and started tweeting photos. Akeem Ayers,
yes,
the linebacker, former Patriot, right,
so
tweeted a photo of his extended middle finger with his Patriot Super Bowl ring.
Wow.
That's awesome.
All right, so that was week one. Now, yes. What happened this weekend?
All right, now, this is a sensitive topic. But most people this morning think that Aaron Rodgers very subtly trolled Russell on God after the game.
What?
Ooh. So after the NFC Championship game, Russell Wilson, and remember, you know Bean, the Seahawks, they were out of that game. Packers fans were booking flights. It was over, yeah. over.
Yet well, they had to score three times in 4 minutes.
Right, and they did. And Russell said after the game that it was, quote, so dramatic, so rewarding, so special, and said that basically God put them in this big hole to make it more rewarding, so when they would dig themselves out of it, it would be that more special. Okay, they asked Aaron Rodgers about that after the game, and he was obviously demoralized and said, you know what, I think God roots for people, but I don't think God roots for teams. So
amen.
I don't. That, no, that was last year.
That was
January.
Last year. And by the way, I agree with Aaron Rodgers. That's okay. A great answer.
So Aaron Rodgers yesterday, while on the podium, when listing off what he thought about the game, said, quote, and then getting help from God. I think God was a Packers fan tonight. So he was taking care of us, end quote. And he said it with a very small, sly smirk. Aaron Rodgers is exceedingly intelligent. Read the SI article last week, Sports Illustrated. He knows exactly what he is saying, when he is saying it, and how he is saying it. I'm not putting words in his mouth. Those are his words. But most people today read that as a shot at Russell.
But God roots for people, not teams.
That's what he said last year.
By the way, since the last time I saw you, Andrew, I watched Aaron Rodgers win Celebrity Jeopardy. I mean, he's a really smart dude.
And he beat an astronaut.
Yes, he did beat an astronaut. You saw that too, right?
Yes.
Black Twitter, by the way, and I don't know if you've caught up with this or not, is blaming the Seahawks' woes on Russell Wilson dating Ciara, because Black Twitter is way more into Future, her ex, than they are into Russell Wilson, and they say that A, he's dating Ciara, and B, Future dropped a mixtape, and that put a hex on Russell, and that's why he can't win a game.
We had this discussion in the newsroom last week at NFL Network, that we have a lot of people on the news desk that are far younger than me. I had never heard of Future, and I guess I'm in the minority here, so to speak. Because I had never heard of the guy.
Okay.
Are we really using the mixtape jinx theory?
Yes,
is that like the Drake lost for Serena theory?
Serena,
you know, she was a lot better with Common.
Dude, you got to get dialed into Black Twitter. That's where all the great conspiracy theories are, man. It's awesome. Seriously. Look, something's going on. Why isn't it the mixtape curse? You don't know, man. I want to see you explore that theory around the NFL this afternoon.
I am speechless. I do not know. I sat behind Ciara at a Lakers game once years ago. That's my only thing I could add to this theory.
We're out of time. Yeah. Jets-Colts.
What about it?
Tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's the game tonight. I don't think the Colts are very good. I've told you that the last couple of weeks. I think their Super Bowl hype was overrated. I don't know why you're clapping. Why
because
are you clapping?
You're the only one on NFL Network, ESPN,
but why does that deserve a clap?
That will admit it. Because I feel like y'all are so in the pocket of the NFL, you have to keep this lie going.
Patriot fan, everything. We're all paid off. Oh, the world is against us. Oh, we're going to be good this year because people don't like us.
Hey, it's been hard to be a Patriots fan. They don't win much, Andrew.
The Patriot theory that we're going to be good because people don't like us.
I don't believe
it's hysterical.
That. That's crazy.
Okay.
We're awesome.
Colts are not very good.
But
neither are the Jets,
right? No, the
right?
Jets are not that good. But the Jets played well week one. I will take the Colts are the better team. They're at home. They have to win this game.
All right.
There you have it.
Around the NFL this afternoon, are you still at 3 o'clock yet?
Mondays are
you?
3. All yes, right. sir. 3 specific.
And, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel every Sunday. You're the best, man. Thank you so much for coming in. Great to see you, sir.
See you guys.
Last night were the 67th Annual Emmy Awards on TV. They were on. Why are you booing?
Because what happened? I'll tell you about it in a minute.
You love TV.
I don't love it anymore.
Love actors.
Never watching TV again, no.
Our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywooder is going to be joining us. Coming up right after 9 o'clock. He was at the show. He was at the after party. It's going to be a lot of fun. Talk to him in the 9 o'clock hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat. Let's find out what's going on. Why have you turned on TV? Which
boo,
is your favorite thing ever?
Emmys. Boo. Boo, Emmys. Boo, boo, Emmys. You saw
it. Allie, do you know what he's talking about?
Zero idea.
Well, why don't you listen to this story and then you tell me if you want to boo the Emmys or not. Because it comes from a little gentleman I like to call David Allen Grohl.
And why do you like to call him that?
Because that's his name.
Okay.
And the Foo Fighters were supposed to play on the Emmys last night. Until the Emmys kicked them off the Broadway.
Boo, Emmys! Screw you, Emmys!
Boo! Worst ever!
What? Yes.
What? Please explain.
You know what? We were supposed to play the Emmys, says Dave in a video which just appeared online. We were going to play the Emmys, and then they kicked us off. When asked for the reason for the cancellation, Dave said, I can't tell you. Do your research. But they did.
But there weren't any, it's not like they bumped him for another musical performance or anything like that.
Oh,
there
were maybe they bumped them for Tatiana Maslany on a red carpet with a metal detector getting a can of beans. Maybe that's why they bumped them.
Well, that was 25 minutes long, though. They could have still done that and just cut it down and still had room for Foo Fighters. Well, that's disappointing, but it also doesn't make...
It's unacceptable.
It also doesn't make any sense why the Foo Fighters would play, although they did win an Emmy.
Oh, they had a little television series being called Foo Fighters Sonic Highways.
All right, they did win an Emmy for
that.
That's
true. Two Creative Arts Emmys earlier this month. Two!
All right, would have made a lot of sense.
Oh, would it have? Would it have?
Taylor Swift won an Emmy for her show, too, by the way.
How dare you,
I'm just saying,
in the same conversation, bring up
that. It is unacceptable.
Name.
If you have the opportunity to have Foo Fighters on your show, you have Foo Fighters on your show, Amy.
Absolutely.
You're goddamn right you do.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. Well, now I want to know why they bumped him, though. We'll ask Matt Bellany. He'll know. He's an insider.
I need more facts.
I do. Well, don't you? Aren't you curious what was better than the Foo Fighters? Nothing.
Well, nothing.
But they must have bumped it for something.
If
what,
Dave
though?
Doesn't know why, what makes you think you're going to be able to get to the bottom of it?
Okay. I don't like it.
You
Bean's got to know.
No. Think you or Matt Bellany. You think he's going to know?
I don't know. Still wrong.
It's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. I'm doing a lot of yelling today. I'm not sure why. Maze Runner. Number
it's
one
working
the box
with
office.
Me, I think.
Scorch Trials came in at number one, $30.3 million. Then Black Mass. Black Mass.
That used to be called Kwanzaa, right?
Oh, my God.
And so this is how it ends. So this, I always wondered how it was all going to come to an end. And now, finally, the prophecies have been fulfilled. The sky has been blotted from the sun or vice versa. Strike that.
No.
Reverse it.
No.
And we all say goodbye.
Blackmus.
Boo!
The Visit was third. The Perfect Guy and Everest make up your top five films. War Room, A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Straight Out of Compton, ninth, and Captive. came in at number 10 with $1.4 million. Did you guys know that Matt McConaughey's brother, Mike Rooster McConaughey, was on a reality show?
Nope.
Me neither.
I did not.
There's a reality show called the West Texas Investors Club.
No.
You heard me.
I reject that, too. What channel is it on?
I have no idea. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
What's it called?
West Texas Investors Club.
Not a show.
Now, wasn't Matthew McConaughey in a feature film known as the Dallas Buyers Club?
Oh, yeah.
It's on CNBC.
CNBC?
What is happening?
Oh, is it literally an investment show where people give money tips
Here's my guess. It's called the West Texas Investors Club. I'm guessing it has something to do with investing. Perhaps the series follows gentlemen from West Texas who are all investing in something.
The series follows self-made millionaires Mike Rooster McConaughey and Wayne Butch Gilliam as they meet other entrepreneurs.
Rooster and Butch going to meet other fellers that also like to swim in the cement pond?
Offering them a chance to pitch their products and secure funding. So this is like a Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, but with roosters instead. It's the rooster pen. Anyway, he was given a year's supply of Miller Lite. Apparently, he drinks a lot of Miller Lite.
Okay.
Here's why. He named his son Miller Lite McConaughey.
Rooster did?
Rooster named his kid Miller Lite. And so, to celebrate, the brewery honored him with a year's supply of Miller Lite because he named his child.
Well, I think that's the least they could do.
Stop it. Just stop it. That is not all right.
No.
And Patrick Schwarzenegger, happy birthday, Patrick Schwarzenegger. He just recently had his 22nd birthday. When asked how his parents celebrated him or it, Patrick said that his dad woke him up at 7 a.m. for a birthday workout.
Oh.
That's how he celebrated.
That sucks.
But that's dad, right? That's Arnold. Mom, meanwhile, gave him 22 banana pies, his favorite pie. What the F is wrong with this family? Talk about working at cross purposes.
Right?
Dad wakes you up at 7 a.m. so that you can burn off the 22 pies that mom made you. And who makes anyone 22 pies?
That doesn't make any
sense. You can't eat them? You can't eat 22 pies? What do you do with them? You throw them at Keystone Cops? Do you have sex with them? What are you doing with 22 pies? How about this whole family stop what they're doing? And the McConaughey's, too. Everyone.
Right.
And the Emmys. Just everyone just stop. Everything I said in this showbiz beat, just everyone stop what they're doing.
Stop it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jason Derulo. You know him. He's a singer. 26 years old today.
He sure likes to take his shirt off a lot on stage.
Oh, but look at those nipples, huh? Who's right with me? Maggie Grace is 32. Liam Gallagher of the Singing Gallagher Brothers, 43 years old. Alfonso Ribeiro is 44. Luke Wilson of the Acting Wilson Brothers is 44.
As opposed to the football Luke Wilson for your Seattle Seahawks. Back to you, Ralph.
Faith Hill is 48. Stephen King is 68.
He's from Maine.
Oh, this whole show can just burn.
Get out.
Can just burn right to the ground.
Jim is smoking. Get out.
Get out.
And Bill Murray is 65 years old.
There we go. There's one we can all agree
Bill
on.
Murray, who had the decency to boycott the Emmys last night because the Foo Fighters were kicked off of it.
God, I'm sure that was the reason.
That's why. That's why, in my mind, that's the reason. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt, the only answer allowed to how do you take your coffee is black like my man. That's the only thing you're allowed to say when somebody... You know that.
Come on.
Come on, Matt. Get with the program.
I'm
Matt
sorry.
Bellany, in studio with us, is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, and he joins us like he do the day after the Emmys. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
You get any sleep?
Yeah, it was a late night, but not too bad. The heat, man, the heat takes everything out of you.
I know that a couple people made references to how hot it was. There were a couple people who were pretty sweaty up on stage last night. But I'm not sure that people around the country watching the show know just how hot it was yesterday, particularly on that red carpet at peak sunshine time. Because the red carpet, remember, is like 2 to 4 or something, right? And so it's the hottest part of the day, and you're in grown-up clothes, and you're under lights.
Yeah, the surface of the sun is basically the only comparable surface for the red carpet. It's insane. You have the temperature was like 97, 98 degrees, plus the lights, plus the giant crowd, plus the formal wear. I mean, people were looking at their phones, and it showed 106.
Ugh, plus Spanx. You're leaving out Spanx.
For the men,
Who fainted, Spanx. Matt? I heard somebody fainted.
It was an actress I had never heard of.
Olivia something?
Yeah, yeah. She was...
Copo or something?
Olivia Copos.
She dated Jonas' brother.
Okay, that's the claim to fame. But she had to be wheeled off the red carpet in a wheelchair because she was about to faint. I mean, also, you add in the fact that a lot of actresses, especially some actors, don't eat that day.
Right.
So you have no nutrition, you have likely not enough water, and then you're on this red carpet, and often you can't move because it's so congested with people going to the different press outlets, and you're trying to blot, your publicist or whoever is trying to blot the sweat off your forehead. And finally, people got into the air conditioner. I think it was like an exodus moment.
And the Emmys, there's a reason why they're this time of year. They have to be in September. Do they do it for specific
reasons?
Could they move it to someplace sometime cooler in the year if they wanted to?
They could. I mean, they do it this time of year to promote the fall shows.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Because you can get your stars on there to present. And sometimes, in theory, back in the day, it wasn't HBO that won everything. It was the network shows that were just about to premiere. So you would get a nice bump there. But, NBC moved the Emmys to August last year on a Monday night because they didn't want it to compete with football. And it was hot, but it wasn't as hot. You never know in LA.
You never know. All right, speaking of phones, we haven't talked about this at all today, Matt, but I was thinking this last night. You can't go anywhere without seeing everybody on their cell phones all the time. Out to dinner, at concerts, even now at the Emmys, there were people who were taking selfies in the crowd, and then on stage people were taking selfies during the show. You think that that's gone too far?
I think so. I mean, I think everyone's trying to recreate that Ellen moment from the Oscars where that selfie became the most tweeted photo of all time, and you saw people like James Corden trying to take a shot on stage, and even the Veep people were trying to do it.
Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus was taking one with Mel Brooks. She was taking her own selfie.
I mean,
it's just weird to see people up on stage that are supposed to be on that stage doing something, entertaining us at home.
Right.
That are really more interested in getting a picture for their Instagram.
Right. And then, they get annoyed when fans ask them for photos after the show or when they see them at the mall, but then they're doing it on stage at the Emmys. So I think people recognize the value of these social media moments. And someone like James Corden, who has a talk show on CBS, he probably knows that if he can get a selfie on stage at the Emmys with tried to pose with the accountants, then, that could be a viral moment. They're all trying for that.
Every year I ask you and have asked even before you started coming on the show, why they have so many boring parts of the Emmys, including the accountants coming out. But I have to give it up for James Corden for doing about as well as you could do with that part of the show last night.
Yeah, I mean, he
made it pretty entertaining.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. There's a reason why they have the late night hosts as presenters, Seth Meyers and, those types of people, because they're actually funny. Kimmel was up there for a while. They're actually really funny, and they can add something. Bean, what did you think of Andy Samberg?
I thought he was really, really good.
I thought he was funny too. Some of the stuff landed, some of the stuff didn't. That segment on the red carpet with
the metal detectors
and the beans, that was a flop. But
horrible.
I thought the Emmy impaling the guy was kind of funny, and
the
opening thing was pretty funny. So
I thought he had some really good stuff. He kept moving. He didn't get in the way. He was funny when he was on. Not much didn't work. Yeah, I thought he was a really, really good choice. Now, you talked about the winners a little bit. This is the voice of Matt Bellany here on the Kevin and Bean Show from The Hollywood Reporter, THR.com, by the way, for all their comprehensive coverage of last night, the shows and the parties. When you talk about winners, it was maybe the biggest night I can ever remember for HBO between all the Olive Kitteridge wins that they got for the limited series, and then they got the best drama show with Game of Thrones and the best comedy show with Veep. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, 43 Emmys if you include the Creative Arts Emmys last year. That's a record. Game of Thrones got 12 Emmys. That's also a record. I think that, you know, everything came together. You know, there was a very, there was a key rules change this year. It used to be that the final Emmys were voted on by a blue ribbon panel, and it was this mysterious cabal that nobody knew who actually voted. This year, they opened it up to more people that could vote, and I think the popular, more popular shows like Game of Thrones, that ended up pushing it over the top over something like Mad Men that has a much smaller audience than Game of Thrones. But it's a big win for HBO. Their party last night was by far the place to be. I mean, every there, even people from other shows. I saw that Orange is the New Black cast was there, and a bunch of people from other shows ended up at the HBO party because they were just the big winners.
How is HBO, besides the fact that they have a built-in advantage by not having broadcast restrictions in terms of language and nudity and violence, how do they have such a good rudder on quality over there? I mean, they just must have some brilliant people working at that network.
It's actually kind of insane because, you know, yes, it used to be, oh, well, HBO can have nudity and violence and, you know, that's why they win. But, you know, Netflix does that. Mm-hmm. Amazon does that. I mean, all these other, you know, basically FX can do everything except say the F word and, you know, show people topless. But HBO continues to win. It's not just in the scripted stuff. I mean, if you looked at what they won for the Creative Arts Emmys, they won for The Jinx, which was an amazing docuseries. They won for Going Clear, the Scientology documentary, which was also amazing. They won for, as you mentioned, the Foo Fighters. And actually, that brings me to my own personal theory as to why the Foo Fighters did not perform.
All right. Now, let me, for folks who are just joining us, Ralph was talking about in the Showbiz Beat a few minutes ago that Dave Grohl made a statement yesterday or was being interviewed or something like that and said, yeah, we were supposed to play on the Emmys, but we got bumped. You'll have to ask them why. And we have been speculating to think, under what circumstances would you not want possibly the biggest band in the world to play on your show, especially when it's relevant because they just won Emmys for their TV show Sonic Highways?
My theory is, and it could just be that they found some comedic bit that they thought was funnier or they wanted the show to come in on time. It could be that. My theory is that there was a fear that the Emmys were going to turn into a giant commercial for HBO. And I know this has been a concern in the past few years. There's that hour of the show where they're giving out the TV movies and the limited series and all that stuff that a lot of people don't watch. HBO dominates that, and they did last night with that with Olive Kittredge, which kept winning and winning and winning. And, you know, if you didn't watch that, it was a very, very small, you know, slow movie. If you didn't watch that, you were probably sitting there for an hour scratching your head.
So because HBO is so good, we didn't get the Foo Fighters.
That is my personal theory. I know that the broadcast networks in particular have complained that, you know, they air the show.
Yeah.
It circulates amongst the four broadcast networks year to year. They air the show, and they complain that they are basically airing a three-hour commercial for HBO.
Well, step up your game, then. Get better shows on your air.
I agree. You know, if you're not going to produce great shows like they do, then you can't complain. But
and it is funny because, you know, you look down this list of the acting winners, and we'll talk about that in the next segment with you, Matt. But I mean, with the exception of a couple of them, like Allison Janney winning for her CBS series Mom, and
Viola Davis won for ABC.
Viola Davis for an ABC series, right? With the exception of that, I mean, almost everything on this list that I'm looking at is, you know, is HBO, is AMC, is not the networks that are putting on the show, just like you're saying.
And it wasn't Fox. I mean, Fox aired the show last night, had zero winners.
Nothing.
So if you're sitting there running Fox, why would you want to further promote HBO? You know, and there was another conspiracy theory. They had a segment during the show where they celebrated the series that had finales this past year. It basically turned into a big spoiler-a-thon because they showed the final scenes of all of these big shows like Boardwalk Empire and a couple of others. And the theory was, amongst conspiracy theorists, that Fox and the Emmys wanted to put a middle finger up to some of the streaming services that put these shows on and try to get people to watch later down the line. Even though they pay a lot of money for those shows, they're saying basically it was a big commercial for watching live on TV, which is what the broadcast networks want you to do.
So they were trying to spoil those shows so people would say, oh, I'm not going to watch now that I know how it is.
I think that might be overthinking it, but I did hear that theory at a couple of the parties.
Matt Bellamy is here. He is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. We're going to talk more about the big Emmy show last night, play a couple of highlights, and we do want to hear what he saw at the parties, too, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Talking about the Emmys from last night on Fox, the 67th Annual Awards. It was three very long hours. Allie and I came in. Matt Bellamy from The Hollywood Reporter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Is that coffee working for you? You awake? You still with us?
It is, yes. Very good.
Allie and I came in this morning first thing, 5 a.m., and we said, man, that was a slog. man, that was a long show. Man, was it almost worth it just for the last 2 minutes of the show when they brought Tracy Morgan out. And I want to play a piece of tape of that, and then I want to talk to you about it, Matt. Tracy, for those who don't remember, was involved in that horrific bus accident about 15 months ago in New York that ended up killing a friend of his that was in the limo. And he was, as you'll hear, in very, very bad shape. It was kind of a miracle that he's A, alive, and B, was able to be on stage last night.
Last year, Jimmy Kimmel sat on the stage and said, "We'll see you back here next year, Tracy Morgan." Well, Jimmy, thanks to my amazing doctors and the support of my family, my beautiful new wife, I'm here. I suffered a traumatic brain injury that put me in a coma for 8 days. When I finally regained consciousness, I was just ecstatic to learn that I wasn't the one who messed up.
Now, we heard that. We kind of awkwardly laughed. Like, all right, he's there, and he actually made a little joke, but then the haymaker.
Only recently I've started to feel like myself again, so which means a whole lot of y'all women going to get pregnant at the after party.
There you go. There's the Tracy Morgan we missed. Tell me what that moment, what were you thinking when you saw that, Matt?
Well, we had a feeling it was coming. Tracy did, Kimmel said last year that, you know, he would like to see him. And what we learned afterward was that this was a very closely kept secret. Tracy Morgan shares a publicist with the Emmys, and they coordinated it where he would fly into town on a secret private flight, be ushered into the backstage area. No one knew it was coming. And it was a great moment. I mean, you got to know there's going to be a pregnancy joke with Tracy Morgan. But, you know, he's hosting SNL in 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So,
great.
We'll see how he does there.
I was just so surprised how, you know, I didn't know how far back he had come. And, you know, you hear a guy's in a coma and you hear there's brain injury and you don't know whether, you know, you see people after stroke sometimes, they have trouble talking, they have trouble holding a conversation. And it seems like he's almost all the way back.
Yeah, it was nice to see a lot of the 30 Rock and SNL people, you know, in the audience. Some of them had tears and were, you know, giving him the standing ovation. It was a nice moment.
It was great. John Hamm finally won an Emmy last night. A lot of people thought he's been doing incredible work over the years now that Mad Men is gone. And it's customary for the Emmys, right, to award you when your show is gone, right? I mean, this is kind of what they do, is it's like a thanks for your service for the whole series, right?
Right. They did that with Kyle Chandler on Friday Night Lights. And actually, Brian won for his final season on Breaking Bad.
He was doing Emmy quality work over there. I mean, he was just in a tough category.
He's been nominated 16 times. I mean, John Hamm is like, he's like the Susan Lucci of prime time. I mean, but it was funny when he got up there because, you know, it sort of seemed a little like he felt like the short, uncoordinated kid on the basketball court when he finally makes a shot and everybody goes nuts and screams for him. He felt like it was a little bit over the top, but I think ultimately it was humbling.
And he actually wound up thanking a lot of people that you were like, I don't know who these people are. And then it turned out to be the mothers and fathers from his school as an elementary school kid that took him in when his mom passed away when he was 10. So those random names that you're like, who are these people? These are people that shaped every part of his life growing up.
And when he was still Dick Whitman.
Yeah.
Wow. Good pull. Well done.
John Hamm had floated around Hollywood for years and years trying, you know, he was the perennial, almost got this show, almost got this movie, and he didn't have any success really until his late 30s when he got Mad Men. So I think the fact that he then had this iconic role and finally to end it with a win like this was something special.
That's so interesting about Hollywood. I mean, I'm a big fan of books that are alternative histories. You know, what would have happened if the Germans had won World War II? What would have happened if the Beatles had stayed together? Those kinds of books are really interesting to me. And there's a whole group of people just as talented as the people that we know as the biggest stars on TV who didn't get that role, didn't get that break, who are out there and we'll never know what we missed out because it's just the way history went.
Well, Jane Krakowski said on the red carpet that she auditioned for Friends and wanted to be the Rachel role.
Oh, wow.
So imagine if Jane Krakowski, who's so great, was so great on 30 Rock and Ally McBeal and Kimmy Schmidt, had gotten the Jennifer Aniston role on Friends. It would have been very different.
We wouldn't have had the balls song.
Right. Let me ask you about one more win and one more speech that was considered a highlight for a lot of people, a very powerful moment. She didn't look like she was enjoying it, the fact that she had just become the first African-American actress to win the Best Actress category, but Viola Davis took advantage of her time on the stage to make this statement about Hollywood.
And let me tell you something. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there.
You live and work in the world of television and Hollywood. This is a conversation that's been going on for a long time. What did you think about her remarks last night, and what do you think about where we are on that issue?
I really enjoyed the speech. I thought she seemed almost a little bit nervous because clearly she had planned that if she had won. And I think for in a year in which this subject of race and opportunities for women of color and women in general has been such a big issue in Hollywood, I think it was nice. It was a nice moment, especially since, you know, the biggest show on broadcast TV this year, Empire, was largely snubbed. Taraji P. Henson got a nomination for actress, but she didn't win. So I think this was a, you know, with Viola Davis and with Uzo Aduba winning for Orange is the New Black, it was a nice acknowledgement of some of the strides that have been made in that area.
I don't know anybody who could play Cookie like Taraji does. I mean, she's just – it's one of the great TV roles of all time, I think.
It's pretty amazing. It's fun and serious and campy at the same time. And, you know, it's – they will have to be okay with just being a huge show. I don't know if it's necessarily the Emmy taste, but –
Well, they're wrong.
Yeah.
They're wrong about a lot, though, Bean. I mean, there's a lot of great shows that just don't get Emmy nominations for whatever reason.
We've talked about it with you in the past with shows like Sons of Anarchy, Perfect Example. There's a lot of them out there. You're right. They're just for whatever reason.
I mean, there's 400 shows now on TV and on the streaming services. So there's going to be a lot of great stuff that doesn't get up there.
Let's talk about to parties. You mentioned the HBO party was certainly well attended. Did anybody like really do it up like they used to, where they spent a lot of money or had, flew in a band or anything fun like that?
HBO usually spends the most on their party, and they throw open the doors. If you are a star, you get in, and it becomes a bigger party. Like the Veep cast was going nuts on the dance floor last night. Anna Chlumsky, who I love on Veep, she was especially big on the dance floor.
She looked like she was going to cry every time one of her castmates won an Emmy, didn't she? She looked like she's going to bawl.
I think it was an emotional evening for her. But you know, at this point, you know, most of them have a party. The Netflix party was at the Chateau Marmont. The Amazon now has a party. They had a party for Jeffrey Tambor, who won for Transparent, mm-hmm. and for Jill Soloway, the creator of that show. They had it at the Standard downtown, and that was pretty well attended. But really, HBO is sort of the like filter. Everybody kind of ends up there at the end of the night, even though the heat was stifling, and that party is outside. People were still having a good time.
That's nice. Folks should go to THR.com for all of the post-Emmy content. What kind of stuff you have from last night and you're putting up today, Matt?
We have a very cool interview with Tracy Morgan that we did talking about his big Emmy moment, how it came together, his plans to go back to work. He has a show at FXX that he's been working on and that he says he's going to do. He talks a little bit about SNL. We've got all the party picks and all the analysis of who won and why. We got a review of the show. Our critic actually liked the show.
Good. All right, THR.com, and you can follow Matt on Twitter at THR Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. Always fun to have you, man. Thanks for swinging by. We enjoyed it.
No problem.
Yes, 106.7
yes.
K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Right?
Yes.
And that was Lost in Time.
Chili Peppers, actually.
And that was by The Reverberation.
Not The Reverberation.
Brand new. Then you heard Groovlers. Doing Sonic Sound.
I guarantee you they're not. Their name is not The Groovlers.
The Atom Age doing It's a Mess.
It is a mess.
And then I started off the set with The Reverberation.
You actually mentioned that already.
Anyway, I'll be back with more music and goodies after this. And here are The Monkees.
Of course you're playing The Monkees. It's always The Monkees.
Is it The Groovlers? I bet it's not The Groovlers.
I don't know.
This is a complete stab in the dark, but I'm just saying I would bet on not Groovlers.
He's got it right there on a piece of paper in front of him.
Yeah.
Right,
do you think he meant the Growlers?
How do you think you spell the
How
Groovlers?
How would I know what's inside that brain, Allie? What are you looking at me for? Rodney Whisperer?
I hope so.
I just know it's not the Groovlers.
All right, nothing comes up under the Groovlers.
I'm guessing no band ever got together and said, what should we call ourselves? Hey, how about the Groovlers? Yeah, I like it.
And, of course, as Ali mentioned, there is a popular band called The Growlers. So it
I feel
possible.
Like it's The Growlers.
I think it's probably The Growlers,
Sweet
too.
Spirit.
He's the best. All right. How about a little showbiz with Ralph Garman here on a Monday morning Kevin Beach Show? What's going on?
Before I give you the business, how about I give you the tickets? Pair of passes. Yeah! Pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Martian.
Oh, The Martian.
At AMC Century City on September the 29th. We're doing a little advanced screening of this film. The Martian is in theaters everywhere October the 2nd. I cannot wait to see this film. The Martian, of course, is about Marvin, who is trying to attack Earth from moon, I believe. He's got a dog who also wears a similar helmet as him. He's like,
that is completely different.
I should have
different.
Eliminated you with a Z-24 modulator. No,
you're thinking of
but
a cartoon.
But all the people I know are on the Earth. And then Bugs Bunny stops him. This is going to be a great film. Apparently, Matt Damon plays Marvin the Martian, which is about the right height, I guess.
An astronaut who
is left
behind.
I don't know if
he can
do the voice or not. I hate you.
No, he's an astronaut who's left behind on the planet Mars when the rest of his crew goes back, and then he has to figure out a way to survive until he can get rescued.
Hmm. All right. That's a choice. Go in that direction, I guess, if you wanted to. If you'd like to see The Martian, why don't you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. And I have five pairs of passes to our advanced screening of The Martian, so why don't you call, and if you're one of the first five, you will get a pair of passes. Again, don't despair if you don't win, because it's in theaters everywhere on October the 2nd, and you can see it your own self.
I hear the Groovlers have a song.
They do the theme.
Yes, they're the Groovlers. They're very entertaining.
Well, I'm still over this. I can't hide my fury at the Emmy organizers, who last night on the telecast chose not to include the Foo Fighters.
Asshole!
To perform on their little TV show. Pulled the plug on their performance. What in God's name were they thinking? Here's how Dave...
Where's the outrage there?
Here's how Dave broke the news to TMZ this morning.
Dave, why didn't you go to the Emmys today, man?
You know what? We were supposed to play on the Emmys, and we were gonna play on the Emmys, and then they kicked us off.
Really? Why?
I can't tell you. Do your research, but they did.
Yeah.
That's very mysterious the way he answered that question.
It's a conspiracy, man.
Sandberg. Sandberg can't take the heat.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Ooh, Lonely Island. We're in a band, too.
You're not Foo Fighters, Sandberg. And then to compound it, then to add insult to injury, during the In Memoriam section, no mention of Yvonne Craig, TV's Batgirl, at any time. Not one mention. Not one mention of Yvonne Craig, TV's Batgirl, also on Star Trek. What's up?
There were several people who were missing, by the way.
But only one of them was Batgirl.
But Roddy Piper, come on.
Oh.
But right. Christopher Lee, come on.
Did he do television?
I think he did. Jackie Collins, come on.
Okay, she
And Jackie. I don't know who Jackie Collins is.
I said Jackie Collins.
Hey, Jackie Collins. He also had his left out. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't tip a dram of whiskey to Jackie Collins. Scottish actor Jackie Collins.
I know that every year there are complaints about who gets left
Listen,
out of the
Listen, maybe you didn't hear me. Batgirl!
All right, Christopher Lee worked on numerous TV series, including The Avengers, How the West Was Won, Charlie's Angels, The Tomorrow People, The New Adventures of Robin Hood, blah, 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 blah.
All right. So.
But Batgirl, you're right.
Right. All I'm saying is, but Batgirl.
The Groovlers were on it.
The Groovlers, they got their proper just desserts. What? Did I do the show, the box office numbers yet?
No.
Let's do that then. Every Monday morning, we take a look at the weekend box office to get an idea what people went to see in movie theaters. And apparently, a lot of people went to see Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials. $30.3 million made it number one in its debut. Right behind that was another new movie, Black Mass, with Johnny Depp, $23.4 million. The Visit, The Perfect Guy, and Everest were your top five movies. Then War Room, A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, Straight Outta Compton. And at number 10, Captive, with $1.4 million. While we're talking about actors who have passed, yesterday Jack Larson passed away. He was an actor but also a playwright that was fairly successful, but of course he is best remembered for his role as TV's Jimmy Olsen on the very first TV incarnation of the Man of Steel, The Adventures of Superman. passed away at his home yesterday in Brentwood, California. He was 87 years old.
Thanks, Obama.
Right? He gave up acting to pursue a successful career as a playwright and producer. And he later on produced films directed by his life partner, James Bridges. Movies like Perfect and Bright Lights, Big City among them. They were quite the Hollywood couple. So, sad news that we've lost Jimmy. Now we can finally meet Great Caesar's ghost. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jason Derulo, 26 years old today. Maggie Grace, 32. Liam Gallagher, you know him, former singer for Oasis. He's 43 years old. Alfonso Ribeiro is 44, as is Luke Wilson. Faith Hill, 48 years old. Stephen King turned 68. And actor, legend, icon, hero, Bill Murray, 65 years old. Bill and his brother just inducted into the Golf Caddies Hall of Fame over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yes. Because Caddyshack, of course, an homage, if you will, to the honorable vocation of caddying.
Mm-hmm. And, I'd say it's one of the 10 best movies ever made about a golf caddy.
I agree, too. I think it's right up there, along with Caddies, 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 of course, from the 60s, which was a crazy sex romp with Jerry Lewis and Tony Curtis. And, of course, the 70s, the dark 70s New York caddy movie, Caddy Driver. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's how you're going out? You're going to leave on that one, are you, Ralph?
I don't care.
Hey,
sit down.
Just get out. We are giving away tickets to go see Muse at Staples Center on December 18th and an exclusive K-Rock after party with the band on the roof of the Ace Hotel.
And party Andrew, with the Groovlers.
Andrew Quintero from Highland Park just won his. You can win yours coming up with our friend Kat Corbett. Tomorrow on the show, check this out.
Nope.
The Martian movie that you're just talking about. We got the guy, Andy Weir.
Damon?
The guy who wrote the book, The Martian, is going to be joining us. He is super, super smart.
I hate Earthlings.
It has nothing to do with Marvin. Sure, anyway, he joins us tomorrow. And our old friend Ben McKenzie stops by. He is Officer Jim Gordon from Gotham, which returns tonight. So that'll be fun.
It returns.
Oh, with Jockey? Will Jockey be there?
I will be there. I'll be watching it with the rest of you.
That's all tomorrow morning right here. I don't know any Kevin to be quick here.